Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this 2022 first edition of The Big Puzzle for this incredible year coming forward. Thanks for joining me today. Always a pleasure. I always start my shows off with a little bit of plug for the stations. We are viewer-supported. We don't get any money from governments or any sources but people that are tuning in and listening to the show. So if you appreciate what the people behind the scenes are doing, please transfer a few dollars into the kitty. It'd be much appreciated. And I always want to start my show off by thanking my producer, because I always forget at the end to thank Steve for what he does for me every week. I much appreciate what you do, sir. I'd be lost without you. And today, of course, every couple of weeks, people that have been listening to my show for a couple of years know that every couple of weeks I get Roger in. And the reason I do that is Roger really kind of expresses his emotions at a very high octave. And what he told me prior to the show today, you better guys have maybe some Band-Aids and maybe a box of tissue, because Roger tells me he's going to knock it out of the park today. Welcome to the show, Roger. And I'm going to put the batteries in right about now. There you go. How you doing, my friend?
You're getting a happy little New better Year. At that. Yeah, happy New Year to you. You're getting a little better at that. It didn't hurt quite so much this time.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. And it's not so much knocking it out of the park today as it is putting the pieces of a puzzle today together. The big puzzle. Oh, gee. Why does that sound familiar? Putting the pieces of a puzzle together that we have been cutting the pieces out for the last decade. So this is what we're going to do, Barry. And the thing of it is, as you so wisely stated prior to the show, this is something that neither one of us wants to talk about. This is something that neither one of us wants to get credit for. But at the same time, if we put the pieces together right today, then in people's minds, they may be able to understand a little bit better what's going on. You constantly hear me talking about door number one, door number two, and door number three. And for anybody who hasn't heard it, I'll do it real quick, okay? Today, we are surrounded by one disaster, one fiasco right after another. And these aren't little ones, they're big ones, okay? It's the southern border. Oh, my God, everybody's worried because there's all kinds of illegals coming in. Some of them could be terrorists. Some of them could have COVID-19. Some of them are bringing drugs in. They're MS-13. My God, the whole country's falling apart. And as soon as you start to figure out exactly why and what's going on, they can't have that because your fear level starts to drop as your knowledge level increases. So what do? They close door number one. And they open door number two. Okay, somebody's fooling around with silverware. Anyway, door number two is another major disaster that they stick in your face. And when they do that, all of a sudden you're scared, you're terrified, and they've got your total attention again. And this is the intent. But most of you listening to a show like this have some sense of intelligence. You do. And you have some sense of, I want to know what's going on, or at least a couple of pieces of the puzzle, and you're trying to put it all together. So as soon as you start to see in door number two that this isn't exactly what they're trying to tell us, then you start to understand they can't have that. Because your fear level drops. And what do? They slam down door number two and they open door number three. And we could go on. But this is basically the scenario. This is why we have so many disasters going on this planet today, more than we have ever had in modern history, continuously and running simultaneously. All right. Why? Let me explain something to everybody out there who hasn't heard this before. Door number one, door number two, and door number three are all in the same damn theater, and it's all owned by the same people. It is a mechanism by which they will instill fear. The mechanism of fear, okay, is the most effective use of, well, it is the most effective tool ever used against man's mind to control mankind. And this is the fact. It is. And this is what we are seeing today. It is all about the fear. If I tell a lie a million times a day, within a very short period of time, that becomes a religion of pseudoscience. No, I'm not joking. Look around you. You're being told you need to take a vaccine or everybody's going to die. Except a report came out today, and guess what? In the United States last year, and I'm not going to go into the details, COVID-19 wasn't even close to being the biggest killer of anybody in this country. But yet they've got you believing that the entire world is dying right before your eyes. You need to take a vaccine. What is a vaccine, people? A vaccine is something that puts into your body a bit, a controlled amount of a virus, along with other chemicals and other staples. And what does that do? It performs a function called immunity. It puts a first line of defense into your body. So if your body ever runs across that virus, it has soldiers to step up and kill it. That's your immune system. That's what a vaccine does, except the COVID-19 vaccines do not keep you from getting COVID. They do not keep your body from storing COVID. They do not keep you from giving someone else COVID. How the hell could you call this a vaccine? When put under pressure and asked what good are they, what we're told is it reduces your symptoms. You don't feel quite as bad, but you're going to get a vaccine pass, which means you can go to that dance with 1,000 people at it tonight, and all of them are going to have a pass. Everybody in there, whether it's fake or real, they're all going to have a pass. What they didn't tell you is that, yeah, it doesn't keep you from getting COVID vaccination, and it doesn't keep you from shedding it or transmitting COVID as well, which means you're basically a super spreader because those vaccinated, 1, 2, 3 boosters, carry a higher viral load than anybody who isn't vaccinated could possibly carry. But yet you're the one who's considered safe. You're the one that's allowed to go out into public. You're the one who has a digital pass so the government can track everything you do. But yet, in fact, if you take this purely on a scientific basis, those vaccinated people are the most dangerous people out there. I'm not joking. You can go on the Liberty Beacon and put in viral load of vaccinated individuals and find those answers. We are living under the biggest tyranny and lie this planet has ever seen. But this all started years ago. And I'll take a breath, Barry, if you want to throw something in there.
Well, you can let me talk.
Well, I don't know. I'll let you holler if you want to.
Hey, Roger. No, honestly, well, what you kind of like, you're really kind of hitting on the head right off the bat here.
Well, that was the synopsis.
It blows me away. What really, really astounds me, and it shouldn't, because what you just said a couple minutes ago about people being almost in a state of hypnotism. Well, they are in a state of hypnotism. If you tell a lie enough times, people will believe it. All you hear on TV in Canada from any mainstream media is that these vaccines, and I'll call them vaccines because that's how people relate to it, but they're not. They're MNR technology, never been used in human race before. We can get into talking about that, Roger. But all you hear from the mainstream is that these things are safe and they're effective. And the only way we're going to stop the spread of COVID-19 in Canada is everybody goes out and gets vaccinated. This is what you hear from Pierre Turdhead every day. On the other side of his mouth, he's saying exactly what you just said, that these things do not stop the spread. They don't stop you from getting it. All they do is make your symptoms a little bit more bearable if you do happen to contract this killer virus that is people are just dropping dead in the streets, Roger. It's just unbelievable. How far away from the truth did they get people to believe in the beginning? I mean, our prime minister came out and told us 50,000 people minimum were going to die, up to 350,000 people were going to die in the next 6 months if we didn't implement draconian restrictions on society. Well, the numbers tell us now that that is a total lie. I haven't been able to find anything they've told us here in the last couple of years that's actual truth, Roger. Have you? Well, give me one example of truth, and I'll shut up.
No, no, no. I don't want you to shut up, but listen to me for a second, okay? What I'm about to tell people is what the hell the vaccine is actually for. It's not to keep you from getting COVID-19. It's not, which may not even exist because nobody on the entire planet has been able to prove it does, okay? But you got a vaccine. Why is everybody being forced to take a vaccine? And I said this on your show before, that in the 1970s, the H1N1 was responsible for 32 deaths. That's what they stated. It was actually closer to 50, but 32 deaths. And they pulled it as being far too dangerous for vaccination. They pulled the vaccine, which is the actual product. Vaccination is the process of giving you that vaccine. So they wouldn't allow vaccination via this vaccine because it was far too dangerous with 32 deaths. We have millions of deaths globally and tens of millions of permanent lifetime damage from this, but yet they're still insisting everybody has to take it or you'll lose your job, you'll lose your livelihood, you could end up in a concentration camp. I'm not joking about any of this. Why the hell would they even do that? Why is this being done with a mechanism that is the most dangerous pharmaceutical agent ever used on humanity? It has already killed or maimed more people in 18 months than every other vaccine ever used on humanity in the entire history of vaccines, times 10. But yet you better take it or else. And then you better take the second one. You better take the third one. And your pass isn't going to be good unless you get the boosters every time they tell you to. That's right. Just because you got the first two, you think you're vaccinated.
That
electronic pass will tell them, hey, you haven't had your booster. So all of a sudden you can't go nowhere and you can't do nothing. What I'm telling you is that each time you take one of these vaccines, it can, and a lot of scientists and researchers do believe, it could give your immune system a kick in the gut for years, each one of them. And after you've taken three or four or five or six, your immune system's totally dead. What this does is it massively increases autoimmune dysfunction. It massively increases chances of cancer. It massively increases, and I could go on, sterility. Ask the women who are taking this. Ask them what happens to their menstrual cycle. Ask them what happens to the stillbirths, which we talked about on your last show. But I want to get to what is this all about, and why do I say – I've been screaming about this, literally, and everybody knows me, I was screaming about it, for the last 12 years. Let me throw a few talking points in here, okay? If you stop to consider the following, the plan for several decades, actually since basically the end of World War II, actually probably mid-50s, when the elites got together and decided that America needed to be milked for everything they could possibly get financially, simply because we had the strongest manufacturing engine the planet had ever seen. We outperformed, production-wise, damn near every other nation on the planet combined during World War II. So they needed us here, being Billy Bad Butt, for at least long enough for them to milk us dry and break us financially. All right. Why do they want to do that? They want to do it because we're the cowboys of the world. You've all heard me say that before, too, if you listen to any of the shows I do. What do I mean by the cowboys? We're the guys who say, we're not putting up with that. We're Americans. We're all about freedom. You can take your stuff. You can stuff it. And you can go away. We're not even going to listen to your crap. We are known as the cowboys of the world. So we needed to go away, but we needed to go away after they had milked us, literally milked us dry of everything they could get. Then what was supposed to happen? The next thing that was supposed to happen once America was literally brought to its knees economically, literally, and destroyed, then you needed to bring in global governance. Global governance could not exist on this planet as long as the cowboys were still here, especially in the form we are in now or have been for the last 40 or 50 or 60 years. We had to go away. That had to stop. Then once you got global governance, The next thing you have is a pandemic that will thin down the population to a population that was manageable. If you've only got 200,000 or 300,000 elites out of 8 billion people, then you only need 200 or 300 million people to service them, to make their lives happy, to give them everything they need, and to keep humanity moving forward, if that is in fact what they wish to do. Oh, gee, how do I know this? The elites are some of the most egotistical people you will ever meet in your life. They transmit and they telegraph everything they're going to do before they do it. You've all seen articles about this. You can go online and put that in any search engine and come up with 1,000 articles related to it. How about the Georgia Guidestones, paraphrasing here, which states, okay, keep the population of humanity under 200 million in tune with nature. There's almost 8 billion of us. They got to get rid of about 7.5 billion people. How do you do that without destroying the entire planet? You can't have a nuclear war. If you have a nuclear war, the planet is just as poisonous for us as it would be for, yep, those elites as well. They couldn't live on it either. And who the heck wants to live in underground bunkers for 20,000 years while the half-life of the strontium and the neutronium and all the other iniums that will be spread all across the planet, you know, back down to a level where human beings can actually live in them again? And how much of the ecosystem would survive something like that? So when you say you need to get rid of a massive portion of the population, what is the most effective way to do that without ruining the infrastructure? Oh, gee, mightn't a vaccine work? All right. So let's go through some points here, okay? We already know that this was discussed. We already know through TED Talks that Bill Gates made, that he bragged, and this is Mr. Vaccine himself, that if we do a really good job with vaccines, we can cut down on the global population by at least 10 to 15%. Well, he was playing on a whole lot more than that, but that would have been offensive to his audience, so he simply stated between 10 and 15%. Vaccines have always been a damage to the human body. Always. Why do I know that? Because they contain either aluminum, mercury, or both, along with other substances. But these are two vitally toxic substances to the human body. Aluminum literally destroys brain cells, and mercury is the most toxic substance to the human body on this planet, only second to ionizing radiation. But yet they're going to put that in a vaccine and inject it right into your body and into your kids' bodies. And they've been doing it for how many years? This didn't start yesterday. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. And the vaccine schedule when I was a kid was 4 or 5 vaccines. Now it's over 100. And we have what? There is over 300,000 birth deficit in the United States alone, and we are the most vaccinated nation on the planet. Why? You got to make the cowboys go away. So what are they doing today to enhance this? What are they doing today to make their biggest and their primary wish come true? Getting rid of the cowboys, destroying America so she cannot stand up against a globalist push to control the entire planet and reduce the population. Well, gee, how many of you heard about this? If you work at a hospital and you don't have a vaccine, and no, it's not a vaccine, you're right, it's an mRNA jab. If you don't have that jab, you ain't going to have your job. You lose enough people from that hospital, the hospital has to close, or they have to reduce the amount of people they can take in and treat. You tell the same thing to doctors and nurses. But these doctors and nurses, they've done their research. They know these jabs are poisonous. They know that there's a real good chance they're going to get seriously harmed if they take it, so they refuse. So now you've got a hospital that has a whole lot less first responders, a whole lot less nurses, a whole lot less doctors. You reach a point where that hospital can no longer bring in enough patients to make the hospital profitable. If it's not profitable, it's got to close its doors. It's happening all over this country right now, and not just in America. It's happening throughout Europe. It's happening in Canada. It's happening in Australia. It's happening in New Zealand. Why? Because these doctors, these nurses, these first responders, they understand what's going on, and they refuse to take this vaccination. Okay, that's the first thing. The next thing is pilots. All of a sudden, you've got pilots who are saying, you tell me I got to take that vaccine, I ain't flying your plane. There were over 2,000 flights over the holidays. I think it was like 2,700. They were canceled globally because there weren't enough pilots, or pilots refused to take the jab, and they could not afford the flights, or they could not process the flights. They could not make the flights happen. What about the supply chain? If you're going to bring a country like the United States to its knees, one of the first things you need to do is knock down its ability to consume. We are the largest consuming by population ratio. In other words, China actually probably consumes more, but they've got 1.4 billion. We've only got 350 million. So if you take it by population size, the United States is by far the biggest consumer on the planet. But if you screw up the supply chain so bad, and yes, this is being done intentionally, don't tell me it's not. It is. If you screw up the supply chain bad enough, you knock consumption to its knees. The store shelves become bare. You try to order something online, you can't, or they may say it'll take 30 to 60 days till they can get it in stock to get it to you, at which time you may not even want it anymore, depending on what it is. So supply chain literally had to be something that was knocked to the ground. It was. When you knock the supply chain to the ground, you don't really harm badly enough the mega corporations. What you harm is the mom and pop businesses, the small businesses. Let me explain something to everybody listening out there. 80 to 85% of the entire United States economy is based on what happens in the mom and pop shops. The small businesses, they literally make up an overwhelming amount of the gross national product of this country. If you take them out of the picture, you are collapsing the economy. Guess what's happening? You've got lockdowns. You've got people who require special passes. So there's nobody coming into your business. Either that, or you live in a big blue city in America, and Antifa or BLM comes in and destroys the entire downtown, including your business, and nobody in their right mind is going to go downtown and go shopping. They're afraid to. We go back to that fear again. They're afraid to go down there. They've seen what's happened. They saw it on the news, the traitors, the mainstream media, who make sure you see every bit of that, and they call them mostly peaceful, you know, demonstrations. But again, who is being destroyed? It's the mom and pop businesses that are being destroyed by a far larger ratio than the major businesses are. You can't go and get your hair cut. You can't go to the local bar or pub and eat dinner and enjoy a few drinks. But guess what? You can go to McDonald's. Guess what? You can go to Walmart. Guess what? What makes Walmart different from your local damn barbershop? What makes it different? There is nothing that makes it different, except that they want the Walmarts to survive. They do, because that is who you're going to be getting everything from going forward, with your social credit system like they already have in China. Mm-hmm. But the mom and pop, they all need to go, because that will facilitate the absolute collapse of the American economy. Gee, another point. Exactly what I was talking about. Now let's talk about a massive recession. Let's talk about taking so much money out of the Federal Reserve, just printing so much money that it becomes absolutely useless. Sound like Germany just before World War II, where you needed a wheelbarrow full of paper money just to get a newspaper? Not joking. And this is what we're seeing. Inflation right now is at 6 to 7%. There are already economists saying, unless we do something drastic real quick, we're looking at double digit within a couple of months and maybe a whole hell of a lot higher before it starts to get cold again. We're looking at, guess what? We're looking at a massive recession. Now, what's the next thing they got to do? They have to discredit the most powerful nation on the planet. Oh, gee, let's pull out of Afghanistan. Let's leave Americans there. Let's leave people in Afghanistan that worked with us and helped us, who the Taliban consider traitors, and started killing them as soon as we moved out. Let's leave behind $85 billion worth of some of the best military equipment on the planet, and let's just pull out. What do you think our NATO, I don't know, allies thought? What do you think everybody around the planet thought? Well, I'm going to tell you, our NATO partners said, are you kidding me? And those who would like to see us fall were saying, ain't this great? Boy, did they get stupid really fast. So mission pretty much accomplished. Globally discrediting the United States. What else do you need to do? You need to capture an entire generation. Hitler is known, has known to have said, and I'm quoting him, if you give me a generation, a school generation, one generation, I will control the country. And what we have right now is what? Critical race theory being taught? What does that teach you? It teaches you, and when they do this critical race training, they literally segregate the class. If there's any African-American students, they get pulled off to one side and told how bad they're being treated. And all the white people get put on another side, the Caucasians, and they're being told just how bad they are and how they really, really need to get on their knees and reform. So, again, we are talking propagandizing through the mechanisms of fear and propaganda and lies an entire generation. What does this do? That keeps us from falling back on our children, because now can we even trust our children? It's not their fault, but it's what they're being taught. Okay? So all of these things have been going on for how long? Everything I just discussed with you, with the exception of killing the jobs in the hospitals, killing the jobs, as far as that goes. Most of this has been going on for at least 10 years. Here's the big one. If you really want America to go to her knees, and you've got troops stationed, I don't know, in Canada, and you've got troops stationed in, I don't know, Mexico, and you've got troops stationed in Cuba, and you have a pretty good technology as far as military weapons go yourself, if you have all of this, you still wouldn't attack the United States for fear that what remains of our military is still too powerful. It, you know, you don't want to slap the sleeping giant, because he's going to wake up and stomp on you. So you don't want to do that. So what do you do? This is what you do. You tell all of the people in the Air Force, and we talked about this on your last show, I believe, that they've got to take a jab that we absolutely know that is going to decapacitate a big chunk of them. They won't be able to work. They won't be. And if they decide they're not going to take the jab, then you tell them they need to leave the service. Some of them under dishonorable conditions, simply because they won't take a killer jab. That's like walking up to a military pilot in the Air Force, handing him a six-shot revolver, spinning the chamber, hand it to him, tell him, point it at your head and pull the trigger. He goes click, and they say, okay, you can go back to your plane. Or he goes click, bam, and he's dead. End of story. This is what's happening to our military. Do you know how many people in the Navy running nuclear submarines, running aircraft carriers, running destroyers, running, and I could go on and on. How many, look, this goes all the way down to the foot soldiers, the grunts, okay? This goes down to the Marines. And these guys got big mads, okay? But they also know, far too many of them know at this point, that taking this jab is like playing Russian roulette. It is. Anybody who can explain to me how taking this mRNA jab is not the same as playing Russian roulette, I'll listen to you, and then I'll tell you what a moron you are, because it absolutely is. So now you have the ability to severely weaken what is considered to be the preeminent military on the planet, either by hook or by crook, either by them taking the vaccine and it incapacitating them, or by them refusing to take it and being kicked out. We are watching the U.S. military undergo the biggest challenge it has ever seen in American history. This is what we're seeing right now. So let's take all this and put it into perspective, and then I'll take a breath, Barry. Let's talk about education ruination. Let's talk about global discreditation. Let's talk about massive recession. Let's talk about bringing down 85% of the U.S. economy by killing the small businesses. Let's talk about just absolutely killing the supply chain. Let's talk about destroying the military. Let's talk about destroying the pilots. Let's talk about destroying the ability of the first responders to respond. Let's talk about the nurses, the doctors, and the hospitals being put in a situation, and they know better than most people what these things will actually do, being put in a situation where they refuse to play Russian roulette. So now what we have is one massive problem facing us after another. I just gave you about a dozen of them. If you think that's all there is, you're an idiot. It's not even close. These are just the big ones. And is it all happening? Name one of the things I just mentioned that isn't actually happening right now. And who's in the crosshairs? It's not Canada, although they've got it bad. Who's in the crosshairs? It's not Australia. They've got it really bad. Who's in the crosshairs? It's not Germany. It's not England. It's not Poland. Should I go on? It's the United States of America. Why? Because until we go down, they don't have a clear shot to do exactly what they want to do. And it is happening as I speak. And if you don't wake up, and I'm not telling you to get violent, we don't need to. If you don't wake up and start protesting, start kicking out these people in Congress who are literally rubber stamping the evil that's happening all around you, and you say, well, we've got to wait till 2022. No, you don't. We have what's called recall. You can pull any one of those idiots out of Congress with enough smart people to understand you can do it. We need to step up and do something right now, because when America falls, everybody around the planet that starts laughing shouldn't. Because when America falls, your fate is sealed. End of story. And I'll breathe, Barry.
No, don't breathe, Roger. Listen, buddy, you missed the biggest one, I think, on the whole list. And it's something that just tears me to pieces when I even start talking about that. And that's what they're doing to our kids, Roger.
I wasn't done.
You know what?
That's after I take my breath.
Okay. Well, I'm going to grab that one off you and run.
Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Because of everything they're doing in our society right now, and that list you just hit on, there's more to it than that, folks. And the repercussions of what's talking about on that list, the amount of suicides, we haven't talked about that. What's happening with the family unit, we haven't talked about that. We haven't talked about what's happening with divorces, domestic violence. It's just off the chart everywhere we look. And you're absolutely right, Roger. In Canada, 850,000. This is the number I just looked at this week, approximately, give or take. Small businesses have closed in Canada since the start of this pandemic. You're absolutely correct that that is the backbone of the middle class. You take that out of society, and, well, the big box stores, they have been doing great in Canada. They are making record profits. Amazon's making record profits, and small businesses are being decimated. You don't see them attacking the big businesses. I mean, Costco, you can walk into a Costco here, and there can be 2,000 people in the store, and there's no restrictions. And people are walking shoulder to shoulder. But mom and pop business down the street, well, we can't have that. And of course, they're attacking our gyms. They're attacking our mechanisms of releasing stress in society. So you wonder why people are getting stressed out. Well, one of the biggest examples of that, Roger, is what they're doing to parents' inability to go watch their kids play a game of hockey unless they're double jabbed. And now they're making the kids get the double jabs. I talked about this last week, Roger, and I was looking at more reports that all the years I played hockey in Canada, I never, ever really remember hearing about people dying from a heart attack. Young people my age, 20, 25 years old, playing beer league hockey in Canada or recreational or competitive hockey. You don't hear about them dying on the ice. Well, we're hearing about it now all the time, but those numbers are the same. We're seeing it in real time.
Yep.
Young people, an example of Richmond in just out of Vancouver, a 25-year-old goaltender dropped dead on the ice from heart attack. He was a very healthy young man, but any organized sports now in British Columbia, you're being coerced to take the jabs to play hockey. I mean, it's gotten so out of hand here, my friend. It's not even funny, but getting back to our kids, Roger, the fact that we're allowing this right now to go on in our country, that parents are actually lining up. People in Terrace here, when they first announced these vaccines for children, there was a lineup at the clinic with people with their kids in their hands taking them there to get these jabs.
And that's changing.
You know what, Roger? You know what? All I can say about that is that I'll end my thought with this thought, but there is a special place in hell waiting for these people, because they're evil people that would do this to our children. They know that they're causing incredible harm to our children, and they're allowing this and promoting it. Boy, bring Johnny in, get his shot. You get a bowl of ice cream. The City Zoo in Toronto, well, free admission today. All you have to do is get your kid in here, get him vaccinated. They get free admission and a bowl of ice cream. Buddy, this is beyond insanity, Roger, and it's got to come to a stop. What they're doing to our kids, that just tears me apart, buddy. It does. It brings tears to my eyes all the time when I think about what they're doing to our most precious resource. We all love our children to death, and we're allowing this crap to go on, buddy. Go ahead.
Well, again, if you're going to reduce the population of a planet to 250 million people from almost, not quite, I think it's like 7,800,000,000 people on the planet today. If you're going to reduce it, then you can't leave any stone unturned. And I started this all off by saying America is in the crosshairs. It's an absolute fact. And this has nothing to do with, look, we're bigger, badder, better, and greater than everybody else. Yeah, yeah, it's America. You got to understand that. Let me explain something to you. I'd much rather it was Australia. I'd much rather it was Canada. I'd much rather it was England. I'd much rather it was Poland than the country that I live in, where I have so many friends, a lot of family, and the wishes that America and its what used to be, okay, its pride in its freedoms and its rights could be spread across the planet just like a fake virus is being spread across the planet. Now, for anybody out there who's saying you put a lot of information out, Roger, and yeah, a lot of this does make sense. The military, you've got to understand, the military took a big blow when Obama was in office, all right? The U.S. credibility with our allies took a big hit while Obama was in office. The U.S. economy took a big hit while Obama was in office. Medical treatment and the cost took a big hit while Obama was in office, and I could go on. The school systems were being corrupted and communists were teaching our college students while Obama spent 8 years in office. What y'all need to understand is where Trump comes into the picture here. Trump was never supposed to win. They fully 100% counted on Hillary Clinton being the first female president of the United States with the power to continue what Obama had started. If Hillary would have gotten into office and not Trump, we wouldn't even be talking about this right now, because this all would have started 5 years ago. And by now, we either would have had an uprising and pushed back on all of this as hard as we could, or there'd be about, I don't know, maybe about 2 billion people left on this planet, and we'd all be sticking our hands out to the elite going, well, we know you're not the best people in the world, but we do have to live. We'll do anything you say. What do you want us to do? We want to stay alive. That's where we were supposed to be today. This was already supposed to be done. That's not a joke. They cheated so bad on this election. It's insane. Every single state has some fashion of proof that election rigging happened. But there are no judges, most of them appointed by liberals or Obama, that would take the cases. They just wouldn't take them. Okay? So what we're doing is we're sitting here looking at all of this collapsing around us. And all of a sudden, Trump jumps in. Now, the biggest problem with that is that the American people, although they were getting very laid back and very unattached from what goes on and trusting their government to do everything they said they were going to do. Oh, yeah, you'll take care of me. I'll just vote for you because you look good and you say good things and you're going to go there and I don't have to worry about it. And they never bothered. They never tracked their leaders and never tracked what they did. Nothing. So what you are looking at is all of a sudden people started waking up to the fact that, what are they teaching my kids? Obama's in office. People started waking up to the fact, why were there pallets with billions of dollars delivered on an aircraft to Iran for a deal that was really bad to start with? We're talking billions of dollars in cash. Why were there? And all of this stuff started to happen and people started to push back. This all happened in Obama's first term. People got really tired of hearing his crap. And then it was time for, I don't know, the 2016 election. And they figured that Trump was probably going to be more popular than Clinton. What they absolutely failed to understand was how much more popular. Because they rigged every single swing state with massive cheating. But Trump still won. He didn't win by this massive landslide that everybody thought he was going to win by. But he still won. If you could take a look at Hillary's face when she had to concede, you know absolutely for a fact and beyond a shadow of a doubt, she did not expect this. Neither did her handlers. Neither did the elites. Nobody figured Trump was going to win. They underestimated not Trump. They underestimated how pissed off we the people were and the fact that he still got elected. Now, let's take a look at what happened when the president gets in office. It's unheard of. They manufacture the fact that he has been, you know, colluding with the Russians. You don't even find out till after he's out of office that it was all a bunch of gunk. It never happened, and they knew it never happened. They knew it was all manufactured. They try to impeach this guy not once, but twice while he's in office, and it doesn't happen. Everything he wishes to do is either being stopped by federal judges or stopped by a Congress, which at one point had a blue majority. So we're looking at a total trashing of for 4 years of one of the most popular presidents in recent history. But he still managed, check this out, to accomplish more in that 4 years with a roadblock every step he took than Obama did in 8 years. And I could go on and on. But the situation had put itself into this context. We need to do whatever we have to do to ensure that Trump does not get reelected. There is absolute proof across the country and across the planet, okay, that the 2020 election was rigged beyond any shadow of a doubt. There are actual check this out. There are actual recordings of every voting machine in the country and who accessed it and when, including their IP addresses. And some of those IP addresses were from Italy. Some of those IP addresses were from China. And I could go on. This is not a joke. This actually happened. But you know what? The justices refused to take the cases. It's up to the local or the state courts. The state courts refused to see the information. Why? They were basically told, you take this case, you and your kids are going bye-bye. And we're not talking about on vacation. What we're looking at here is an absolutely desperate maneuver to ensure beyond a shadow of a doubt that Trump did not get reelected. As soon as we knew he wasn't going to get reelected and Joe Bob could come out of his basement, go into the White House and try to read a teleprompter, which he didn't do very well, we knew at that point that they were back in control. Then we start to see everything we are seeing accelerate to the point where the United States right now either has to wake up or we will fall into the category they have designated for us a couple of generations, many decades ago, and that is suck every penny out of us they could, they have, and bring us to our knees, destroy the United States. I don't mean with nuclear bombs. I mean turn us into a third world nation so we have no power, no authority, no influence on the planet anymore. We are well on our way. If Americans don't stand up now, it's not just America that is in trouble. It's not just America that is in danger. We are what stands in between the elites and all they wish to do. Their plan from day one is get rid of the cowboys first. They're well on their way. And if we don't get off our butts, and I'm not talking about Americans, well, I am. I'm talking about all of us. Don't get off of our butts and do some pushing back. In 5 years, those of us that are still alive are not going to recognize this planet. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. None of it. This is all happening. How many people do you know? How many stories do you see on the internet every day about increasing stillbirths, about women whose fertility goes right out the window, about men who are having heart attacks, like Barry said, right out there on the sports field, about, you know, people having brain aneurysms because of blood clots in their brains, about, and I could go on and on, cancer. Nobody's talking about cancer, but cancer has exploded again all over the planet. Where? Especially where people have been vaccinated. Let's go to Israel, okay? Israel is about 80% vaccinated. Where is the largest amount of COVID deaths coming from? And they're calling them COVID deaths. They're not. They're spike protein deaths. The largest amount of deaths by a massive amount are those who have been vaccinated. And the more vaccines you've received, the more health issues you are experiencing. Now, they're going to tell you, well, they didn't die from COVID. No, they died from brain aneurysms. They died from heart failure. They died from kidney failure. They died from – but they don't think we're smart enough to associate this. All of this starts about the same time you'd start mass vaccinations. It wasn't happening anywhere near this level prior to that. But we're all supposed to be so freaking stupid that we can't pick this up. We're not. At least I'm not. And I can scream loud enough to wake up most of you idiots out there who are still sleeping.
Well, what about the new syndrome we're dealing with now, Roger? Vaccine-induced immunity deficiency syndrome. That's the new one.
Yeah.
Well, what are they telling you there, buddy? Hold on. I mean, what? What are you talking about?
I know exactly what I'm telling you.
But that's the new one out now. That's the new one we're going to be dealing with. That's how they're going to explain everything that's going on in our society. What? It's vaccines that are doing this? What, you know, Roger, what really, really kicks my butt right now is that I've looked at the numbers with this Omicron, this new killer, just absolute decimating virus or variant of the virus that's going across the world at light speed, I'm really being hard pressed to find deaths associated with this. And yet in Canada here, they are ramping up the restrictions harder and harder and harder, like almost by the day, Roger. They are absolutely out of control. Why can't people see the trees for the forest? Because it's so obvious right now that this is nothing to do with a vaccine or a virus in any shape or form. This is about killing us. Go ahead.
It has something to do with vaccine, but it's not a vaccine. It's an mRNA jab. And if you talk about the immune deficiency, this is what I discussed earlier when I said every time you take a jab, there are some scientists that believe that it could cripple your immune system for up to 150 months. Listen to me, 150 months. That's over 10 years, all right? And if you take a second one, then you take your third one, then you take your booster. At this point, you have no immune system, which means that cancers explode, which means that any virus that's out there, unless they're telling you you've got to have 100 vaccines a month instead of 100 a year now, everything that's out there becomes deadly to a big portion of the population. Why? Because their body no longer has the ability to produce antibodies. If your body cannot produce antibodies, if it's immunodeficient, Jesus, that sound familiar? If your body is immunodeficient and cannot produce antibodies, then the common cold is going to kill you. Then the yearly flu is going to kill you. Then the mumps are going to kill you. Then the measles are going to kill you. Are you catching the drift? This is not a joke. And if they're going to tell you, oh, yeah, guess what? We finally understand that these vaccines are causing immunodeficiency problems. Why the hell are you making anybody else take this vaccine? Why are you firing them from their jobs? Why are you destroying the military? Why are you destroying the entire hospital chain? Why are you destroying everything in front of us when you just told us that this vaccine is going to destroy your immune system? This is what I'm talking about when I say door number one, door number two, and door number three. What I'm telling you should be common knowledge. It's not. Why? Because there are bigger, badder, better things that they want people focused on so that they don't focus on these things that don't carry quite as much impetus right now. Why? Mm-hmm. Because this immunodeficiency hasn't started to be the result or the causation or the causality of a big die-off. That's going to happen over the next 3 to 5 years. Some scientists are saying it could take as much as 10 years for all of this to play out. So what you're looking at is, and I've had so many people telling me, if these vaccines were that bad, how come if about 2 billion people have already been vaccinated, and it's probably closer to about 2.5 billion at this point, have already been vaccinated, why ain't they all dead? Do you think they're stupid? If they gave you a vaccine that was going to kill you within a week or a month, and they've been giving them for 18 months, we'd have over 2 billion dead people. Who in their right mind would take that vaccine? But if it causes an immunodeficiency in your body, if the spike proteins make, I don't know, blood clots in your brain, blood clots in your heart, but this can happen over years, then they literally have years to do this entire thing. Well, how long has it been going on? Going on 2 years. What are we seeing now? A lot more deaths and a lot more, I don't know, being literally crippled for life from these vaccines than we've ever seen with every other vaccine in the entire history of vaccines combined times 10. We're starting to see that. This is why you're seeing people all over the planet going, keep that damn thing away from me, and you better not come near my children. And that's starting to happen in America. So anybody out there going, if these things were as deadly as he said, Roger, then everybody who had one would already be dead. No, that would be stupid. They were literally scientifically designed. They were programmed to do this over an extended period of time. How do you do that? You attack and weaken the immune system. The first shot takes it partway. The second shot takes it further. The third shot takes it way further, and the fourth shot's there just to make sure that the third shot didn't fall down on its job.
I'm not laughing, Roger, at the insanity. I have to chuckle at it. I really do, because it is insane.
Anybody who doesn't think I tell the truth, I dare you to prove anything I say is wrong. I double dog dare you. I will never come on Barry's show or anybody's show and tell you something I can't absolutely stuff in your face to the point where you have no choice but to believe it. I don't lie.
Roger, believe it or not, the time is up again. Can you believe it? That hour went by very quickly. I just looked at the clock, and Steve just mentioned to me that we're out of time again, bud. So I will have to let you go here for another couple of weeks, and, of course, I'll have you back in. I appreciate your knowledge and your passion, buddy. Thank you for letting me say a few things during the course of the hour, too. I appreciate that.
I warned you about this.
It's all good, Roger. My audience loves you. We all love you. And I look forward to our next conversation, my friend. Thanks for coming.
Good luck, Barry. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Okay, folks, I'll be back in a couple minutes with a couple local yokels, some people from my community that really have a few things to say about what's going on. One gentleman is involved in the school system here, and he's going to dispose some information to you today that might just rock your world. Back in a couple minutes.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away. You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed, and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs. Your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Well, you just wait, they'll find you yet, and when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, to the happy home with the trees and the flowers and the chirping birds and the basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to my friend Roger for coming in. Really enjoy talking with that man, always have. Second hour here, I have two local people from my little town of Terrace here going to join me for a conversation. Barb Bond, we've had Barb on the show before. I just call her a little piece of dynamite. And I've also got Nathan Schock. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Nathan Schock in here, who is a systems network administrator for the school board. Correct, Nathan?
Yes, that's it.
So what we wanted to talk about today, folks, is we want to get into a little bit of the conversations about what is going on in our schools and why I see so many parents now getting involved in homeschooling their children. Definitely something not right in our school systems. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit today, Nathan, especially SOGI123. I'd like to talk about that one for a couple minutes and other programs that are being implemented in our school system that don't really seem to be benefiting education. Let's put it that way, that we see more indoctrination all the time in our school systems. Welcome to the show, sir.
Sounds right on. Thank you for having me here.
So tell me a little bit about your role and what you see going on in the school right now, Nathan.
All right. Well, being an IT guy, of course, I get a lot of the some of the help desk calls with teachers, not only with technology, but anything to do with the students as well. And any sort of meetings or presentations that are done at the admin level, I also have to partake with. And so I get a chance to see what the discussions are for what would later float down into the schools and then be released out to the public. And through that, I feel somewhat privileged because I get a chance to see the inside scoop about what's coming down the pipe, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And definitely some of that is critical race theory and SOGI.
Well, what do you think about these programs?
Okay. The critical race theory in our school district is not necessarily taught by name. Like I haven't seen anything directly saying, okay, class, today we're going to talk about critical race theory and why you're bad. Like, no, there's nothing like that obvious that's being taught in the elementary schools. But SOGI is very definitely being taught in a very obvious manner. It's only recently hit our school district. So it's not something that has been taught for a long period of time. I think it was just introduced earlier this year. And there was for sexual orientation and gender identity, as our superintendent puts it, it is at the forefront in our school district as far as being taught. I'll just quickly highlight how it's being presented in our school district. And then there's a couple pieces of information that have come out through studies in the States that are definitely worth noting, because this may be why parents are starting to go, hey, wait a second. So in our school district, every elementary school is being provided with a grade level appropriate SOGI kit. And these kits include resources, mentorship books, lessons, information, and posters. Every school was provided also with pride kits that include two pride flags, a manual for administrators, and with curriculum ideas. And there are SOGI leads in every school within School District 82. So that was recently introduced last year. And whenever I go visit a school, it's pretty obvious where the bulletin boards are. That's just saying, hey, this is a safe place for whatever. Mm-hmm. Just before the summertime break, we had Brian Gedinsky and Shelley Moore come on board in a Zoom call and tell us about how they see the benefits of teaching SOGI and gender diversity, I guess. And it was a pretty long presentation. It was not available to the public. It was just for us and the rest of the staff. And they're just trying to demonstrate why it's a good thing and everything therein. That's a basic summary of what's happening in our school district. One thing I can definitely say, though, is that the more I've gotten to know the teachers, I do not believe that any of the teachers are willingly teaching the stuff to the students, knowing that it's harming them. I don't even think our superintendent is aware of some of the studies that have come out saying why this may not be a great idea. None of our staff comes across as willfully wanting to hurt kids. Like they're teachers wanting to do the best they can to give the kids a good learning environment, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But it's the content of the material that might not be so good.
Yeah, there's multiple reports all over the place now about the effect that this is actually having on our children. What do you think about this, Barb, and welcome to the show?
Thanks for having me, Barry. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. It's such a complicated, complex issue. You know, we know that there is gender dysphoria, gender identity issues. We know that there's people out there that struggle with the connection between mind and body. And I sadly, I would not want to be one of those. One of the people that have to struggle with that, not only within themselves, but also in society. But somehow I think that implementing something in the school district, I think should take a lot, because we're dealing with a cohort of people, of kids, you know, that are coming into their own. They have a lot of other variables that are going on in their lives at the time. It doesn't, you know, it could be a lot, some traumas. Childhood traumas, there could be some mental health challenges and issues going on with their lives. It could mean all different kinds of variables that I don't think we're super considering at this point. I think there needs to be a lot more information, a lot more study, a lot more research done on this topic before we start, indoctrination. Mm. You know, definitely, you know, or some sort of, you know, information. But to be a child, to be a teenager, I don't necessarily agree that it should be in the lower grades. I don't think that, you know, that is appropriate. Teens going into their schooling certainly are having a plethora of different challenges in their lives. As I spoke about the variables before, there should always be someone that they could speak to comfortably, and there should be awareness. But having like what you had said, Nathan, that's a bit much.
Mm. You know, when I was going to school as a child, we started sex education probably in around 13, 14 years of age. We were introduced to sex education programs in the school because at that time it was age appropriate. What age do they start teaching the children these SOGI programs, Nathan?
Well, it's right at the elementary school level, and kids, what is it, grade 6 years old? Is that either kindergarten or grade one?
That's grade one, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, apparently right at the elementary school level. So as soon as the kids are coming into the elementary system, they're already having this exposed to them one way or another. And I can only imagine the confusion that would start to happen in these little guys' minds.
Well exactly. Yeah. That is the biggest point I think we could make here right now, is that a child at 6 years old is not thinking about what kind of a gender they are. They are born either a boy and girl. And when they get to an age where their sexual they develop into their teens, and their priorities seem to be one way or the other. I can understand something like this being introduced, but to introduce it to children that are 5, 6, and 7 years old, I'm reading reports now of the effects on children, and it's absolutely devastating, because you're creating what you just said there, Nathan, gender dysphoria. Why do we even want to put that? Why aren't schools doing what schools are supposed to do and educate the children about real life, real world experiences, not some fallacy, some theory introduced by a very, very small group of people in our society? Why is that allowed to be going on right now? If we look at the people that are behind these SOGI programs, it's a very, very, very small percentage of our population that are having catastrophic effects on our children. at the age of 5, 6, and 7 years old. I am hearing more and more guys every day about parents that are pulling their kids out of schools because of these SOGI programs. And homeschooling is becoming a big thing right now because parents don't want their children exposed to this kind of crap at that age. And I call it crap because that's what it is. It has no place in grade 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. Let's talk about geography. Let's talk about history. I mean, this is right, wrong as far as I'm concerned. What are your thoughts, folks?
Well, if if we are not allowing our children to buy firearms, buy cigarettes, alcohol, or vote until they're 19 years old because of maturity and cognitive ability, then why are we allowing them the ability to assign their own gender at 12 years old or at 9? And we're backing it up with the Ministry of Children and Family Development and the medical community. And there was a serious study done back in 2015. There is a group of individuals called the United States Transgender Survey. And over a course of 20 years and longer, I guess at this point is closer to 30 years, they've been tracking transgender individuals to get some real world data. And it's the largest survey of transgender people in the U.S. to date. And they have found that 81.7% of the respondents reported ever seriously thinking about suicide in their lifetimes. And out of that group of hundreds and hundreds of kids that were surveyed, 48% of them had seriously thought about suicide just in the year 2015 alone. And that was back in 2015. I would imagine it has only gotten worse since.
Well, we know for a fact that child suicides in Canada just in the last 2 years have seen incredible spikes in numbers. But you never hear that talked about. But when you talk about the transgender society, I look at some of the numbers as far as suicides attached to these people that are going through these things in their life, and the numbers are absolutely astronomical. So what are we actually doing to these children? Like I said, my biggest contention, if people want to believe that there's a whole pile of genders out in the world today, well, so be it. To me, there's only two genders. You're either a male or a female. And at a certain point in your life, I believe you should be able to make the decision what your sexual preferences are. But when you get to that point in your life where you can make an educated decision, like you said, Nathan, everything else in society, you have to be minimum of 16 or preferably 19 years of age before you can drive a vehicle, whatever we talk about. There's that age limit. But here we're having children being indoctrinated, and that's what I call it, because it's being pushed on our children, and that is wrong. They have no place in our school to be bringing that kind of information into our children's minds. So why is that being allowed to go on? Because that to me is all wrong. What do you think?
Well, the writing is on the wall, so to speak. The evidence is speaking for itself. But with like you had just mentioned a moment ago, the decision to teach this stuff is coming from just a small group of people at the top in BC. Well, it's federally for the education system. It's just our individual teachers are being told, hey, teach this stuff. And unless any of our teachers are actually standing up and say, no, I'm not going to teach that, then they're going to teach it, thinking it's a good thing. The best ammunition our parents out there have to fight this is to go to the individual schools, their parent-teacher public forums, like when the principal of a school offers the public, you know, to come in and talk about the upcoming school year, have the parents go there and say, if you teach this stuff to my kids, I am pulling my child out, and with that child comes funding.
Exactly. The numbers present dollars to the school system. We know that. What do you think, Barb?
Well, we do know that trans is a phenomenon, and it's a real phenomenon. We know that. We also know that, you know, when you spoke about the suicide numbers, and that's a concern for me, you know, when we're dealing with teens that have already a plethora of other major problems. We just need to be able to provide a safe place for our teens to go and have these discussions, because it is a real phenomenon. We know people that that are transgender, and that's why the phenomenon is now becoming more of a topic of conversation. What I'd like to know is because my daughter's 17 and my son's 21, so I'm kind of leaving the school system at this point. What is the general consensus of the parents? Have you gotten any feedback from the parents that are facing this dilemma right now?
Most of the parental feedback that I have gotten lately has been with regards to COVID and the pushing of kids to wear masks and the offering opportunity of the injection.
Right.
You know, that's most of what the parents have been asking. But the few that I've heard when they're asking about this stuff, mostly they're asking about, is it harmful, to teach the kids this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And questions relatively around that neighborhood. Most of the other parental involvement has mostly just been simply feedback. You know, some of the parents out there are perfectly fine with this. And they think it's absolutely no problem because of their own views and teaching their children the same thing. It's perfectly fine for them. But I don't know what percentages, on either side of those fence are. Mm-hmm. But I honestly have heard a couple of the roughly 10 to 15% of the parental responses that I've heard myself, they are concerned. But those are the only ones that I've made. That I've heard of. I'm not in the admin office themselves. I'm on a separate building with the IT department.
Yeah.
So I do get some of the information, but I would imagine talking to some of the admin staff or the superintendent herself, you would get some really good numbers. One parent did come back and offer some realistic data that I'd never heard of before. And with regards to kids questioning this stuff as they're coming through early adulthood, with the studies that have been done so far, it seems to be roughly 60 to 90% of the trans kids turn out to no longer want to be trans by adult. They get over it, or whatever you want to call it.
Interesting.
I've seen those numbers myself, Nathan. Go ahead.
Yes,
interesting.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, see, it's great if we could just have those conversations with the kids. If you have a younger woman, a younger girl, who's growing up showing that she wants to turn wrench, she wants to be a heavy-duty mechanic. Well, that doesn't mean she was born the wrong gender. It means she's a girl that wants to be a heavy-duty mechanic or a boy who wants to be a culinary artist or do hairstyles. Like, what's wrong with a boy wanting to be a hairstylist? That doesn't mean he was born the wrong gender.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah,
very
those numbers
interesting.
You refer to. I've seen those numbers, Nathan.
Okay.
It's almost to me. It's almost like they're in the school system now, and there's these maybe I'll call them the people behind the curtains, or people that are pushing children to think in a certain way, where it's almost cool. It's a cool new thing to be as a tranny now. You know, I mean, look at all these guys. What's going on in our libraries? We have homosexuals teaching 6- and 7-year-olds school lessons, trannies, in our public libraries. What is that all about? Why is that being allowed to happen in our society? And it's like you said, my friend, it's a very, very small percentage. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I looked into this. It's a very, very small percentage of our population that are pushing these agendas in our school. So I guess my question and my main concern would be to parents that are watching this go on, that maybe it's time for you to get involved and start going to some of these school board meetings and finding out what it is exactly they are teaching your children, and ask them yourself if that's relevant to the welfare and the best growing situation or learning situation for your child. And like I said, we're seeing a lot of people now pulling their children out of school. And I wouldn't want my child in school right now. I know that the school district up here voted against bringing in these vaccine clinics. There's some schools back east where they had the parents. A couple of them were put to a stop real quick by parents. But the fact that they actually brought vaccine clinics into the school and offering these vaccines to these children when they are not getting any kind, period, of informed consent. They are not told of any of the possible side effects. This is a real criminal activity in my opinion. And we talked about that yesterday at the meeting, and we see the effects on people when we start talking about, especially the doctor we had talking yesterday. I could watch the tears coming out of the side of his eyes when he started talking about the damage to our children. the fact that we're allowing this to go on right now, guys, it's absolute lunacy. And it has to come to a stop. My biggest fear, well, I know for a fact now that we've had multiple children injected in Canada, that I honestly believe, and I don't wish death on anybody, but I honestly believe we're going to start to see a lot of children dying. Maybe that's what it's going to take to wake up Mama Bear in this country, because this lunacy does have to come to a stop. What do you guys think, your thoughts on this?
Well, I'll definitely speak to that. I had a similar situation happen, you know, when the school district was suddenly becoming a pusher, you know, for the medical model. And I think the two are mutually exclusive and should stay that way. I was dealing with my son when he was in his younger years, you know, not the typical child that couldn't sit still in his desk, you know, and what's the first thing they want to do? They want to give him a checklist of behaviors and stick him in a room for 2 hours with somebody that he's never met, you know, not knowing if he's had breakfast or had a fight with his sister before he went to school. And all of a sudden he's sitting at a pediatrician's chair and they want to drug him with ADHD medication.
Yeah, Ritalin. Give him Ritalin.
Yeah, well, I went head to head with our school with that one year. Very big time head to head. They were using a doctor, a psychologist who wasn't even with the College of BC Psychologists. She wasn't even, you know. And what they were doing is that they're using master degree, psychoeducational assessors to come in and assess these children and write these fancy reports. And all of a sudden they're a repeat customer for a pediatrician, right? So, I mean, I've been through this before, you know, and now I'm seeing the exact same thing happen. And I'm wondering, is our school district getting contingency funding for pushing this? I'd like to know, because that is racketeering.
Yes. Well, I would love to see that. And I bet you if we dig into a lot of this, you're probably going to find that. Look what happened when they dug into the Ontario Teachers Union and how much money out of that pension fund was going to support. I think the list was about 170 different people that they're investing in. But every one of those were globalist organizations pushing globalist agendas. If you look at that and then ask yourself what's going on around the country and tell me that same kind of stuff isn't going on all over our country right now, I tell you, you have your head in the sand.
That's right.
All we have to, you got to follow the money. When it comes to Ritalin, guys, I'll tell you that the fact that parents allow their children to be put on Ritalin, it's really a sad state of our society.
Oh, I know.
You know, if Albert Einstein had been diagnosed in school, they would have had him on Ritalin because he could not sit still. He was always fidgeting, but that's a sign of intelligence. That's a sign of great levels of IQ in a person if that's how they're behaving in school. But now if you behave like that, you're down, like I said, to the pediatrician's office and you're given Ritalin. I have a firsthand experience in my life of what Ritalin did to one of my nieces, guys, and I saw what it did. And I have a niece right now that's on a permanent mental disability.
Yep.
Can't function in society. I'll tell you, it's a travesty. But when they get them on Ritalin, they've got a customer for life.
They do.
What do you think, Nathan?
It reminds me of the phrase, show me the money. It's a very real thing with the profit motive. I wish I had some numbers in front of me as far as what our school board is doing. But yeah, I don't
– where's the money going?
There may be, but I don't know if there's a kickback of some sort going to the school district to promote the Ritalin side of things. I do know that the Ritalin is being pushed heavily. I have seen it in our school district as far as offering it or making it available to the kids that need it. But again, it was a great point. You know, the child could have had a rough morning, goes to school cranky, and then they start giving out meds. Well, last time I checked, only a doctor can hand out meds, not a school district.
That's right.
We're not a psychologist. You know, they're not licensed to give out meds, and therefore there's a legal credibility there that may be pursued by somebody at some point.
Well, you know, if you've been on Ritalin for 2 years of your life, you can't enter the U.S. military. That's one of their stipulations. So why would they have that there? What's going on there, folks? You know what? I had to find out for myself one time in my life. I was at my relative's house, and there was a bottle of the little blue arithmetic tablets on the table. And I asked my relative if I could take one because I wanted to see exactly what it did to the human body. And I'm telling you guys, I took one of those little blue pills, and half an hour later, I was literally running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Just the exact same effect on your body as speed. And I only know that because at one point earlier in my life, I played around with drugs, and I know what they do to your body. And to put that into the body of a developing child, where their minds and their immune systems are developing, you're scrambling with something that is so similar to illegal speed on the street today. It absolutely blew me away, and that was one tiny little Ritalin pill. I was flying for about 8 hours. Go ahead. So what's that doing to you?
Wow.
Yep.
Hey, man, this stuff is crazy. There's 6 million, approximately 6 million children in the United States of America right now on Ritalin, approximately, give or take. So what are you doing? The big farming, they are just making customers for life, because almost to the T, every one of these children, after they're off the Ritalin, they're going through their life, go through depression, go through mental problems. Like I said, I have an example of that in my family, but I have read so many reports on it that parents really, really have to sit down and look things over before they go ahead and stick this stuff in a child's body.
Oh, yes. Yes, and I want to talk about, you know, when you talked about funding, and I'm a little well-versed on how the school districts get their funding for those that have apparent ADD, ADHD, is what it is that these checklists of behaviors, which is a subjective checklist, right?
Yeah.
It's a subjective study. And what it is, it's a psychosocial. So it's made to sort of bring out other mental issues, right? This is not a professional that's doing it. A real assessment is at BC Children's Hospital for an inpatient, you know, and a very low, low percentage of kids really actually you know, need to get there. Mm-hmm. So the funding is based upon these checklists of information and these little fancy reports that these psychoeducational assessors do at the end of the reports. And what that does is that gets sent to the Ministry of Education and they code it. And that code determines the amount of funding that the school district gets. So the more kids that are funded, the more kids that get the certain coding for ADD, ADHD or special needs or of the sort get extra funding. But that funding doesn't go directly to the child. It goes into a pot for the school district to decide how it's dispersed.
Mm,
okay. That's how that works. Right. So coming back to now we have vaccinations and masks. You tell me that there's not a contingency fund for this as well for them to infiltrate, since it's so easy for them to infiltrate into our school districts with this bullshit. It's Then what it does is it from this stuff, it goes into now. Now we're dealing with a whole other medical model, one that has been able to infiltrate in most of everything. Our legal system, our medical system. I have doctors in our community that are turning a blind eye to this. You know, it's how do we fight this, right?
Well, what it comes down to is the lobbying power of Big Pharma.
That's right.
Big Pharma, and I've said this many times, Big Pharma is running our world right now as yes. we speak. The lobbying power that Big Pharma has in all levels of government, not many of us are privy to. But if people really understood what was going on behind the scenes, they would get off their butts and do something about it. But what I just said is so, so true, that Big Pharma basically runs our planet right now. The amount of money they make is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh. And, of course, they're making billions and billions and billions of dollars off the vaccine rollout for this so-called pandemic. It's just absolutely insane, the amount of money they're making off this. And now they want to stick it in our kids, and they are sticking it in our kids. I don't know, guys. It's almost like I have woken up in a la-la land that we as an educated people, and we're supposed to be educated when it comes to our children, which we all love, we all want to protect, we want the best thing for them, would allow this to be put into our child's body without doing major research into it. And if you did that right now, if you went on the internet and started looking up some of the damage that's being reported, all over the planet. If you went to the VAERS site and actually read the numbers and all kinds of other information that's coming out, you wouldn't consider ever putting this into your child's body. So I guess that my biggest question is, what's wrong with parents these days? Why can they not look into this before they go ahead and do this to the child? Because once it's in the child, they're done. And, of course, we know how fast myocarditis is expanding in our society. All the young people we're hearing about dying and having all kinds of heart problems. You know, this is a good thing, guys. It's insanity. It really is. Go ahead.
Nathan.
Yes.
Your thoughts.
Well, if you're going on the topic of the Rona, with the schools, especially was here in the Valley, with some of the private schools, I've heard from, was it Christian Centennial? The kids have been exposed to nurses coming in to offer injections, but you know, for the first jab anyway. But I haven't heard of a lot of pushback, and it's probably because of just simply a lack of information being available to the parents to make them or to give them the opportunity to have a critical thought towards it. This really reminds me of the X-Files. It really does. Mm. You know, like if your two best, like for Pfizer or whatever, their two best weapons is misinformation and lack of information. And unfortunately, even places like who are the oligarchs? You got Facebook, Twitter, and of course Google itself. You know, if you try to go onto Google and search for stuff, you know that those search results are filtered. So we're having to go to search engines like DuckDuckGo to actually get proper returns for our search to find relevant information that's not heavily filtered. Mm. And if you don't have that knowledge already when you're going out to search this stuff, or if all you do is watch mainstream media, these guys are bought and paid for. You're not going to get good information from CNN.
Well, we've been saying that for years. We all know that all media now, mainstream media, is controlled. That's why it's so essential that you go to alternatives. You know, a lot of people, I asked them if they ever go watch the Rebel reports. I'm sure there's a few things about Rebel media that I don't like, but if you look at their reports, they're the only media in Canada that's actually reporting on things that are going on in this country that no other media is reporting on. So why is that? Why are they the most attacked media source in Canada right now? Well, because we're in the throes of communism 2.0, and it's not too far away. So I tell people, you know, go listen to what they have to say every day, because at least then you're going to hear a little bit of contradictory information that you're being told on mainstream 24/7. Doesn't matter what mainstream station you tune into Canada, it's go get your vaccine, do your part, be a good little citizen, and make sure that you protect your people around you. This is the only way to stop this, blah, blah, blah. That's all you hear 24/7. I don't even listen to it anymore because I know what they're going to say every 15 minutes. It's like, holy smokes, folks, use your mind, especially when it comes to our children. I mean, I wouldn't put something in my child unless I knew exactly what it was that was going into their body. What do you think?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of evidence that because of the fear that comes out of, you know, fear that comes off of the mainstream media, there's not a lot of desire, I find, in just people in general, to want to go look for alternative news. They either don't believe the alternative news because of how they're like Rebel News, let's say. Rebel News is attacked viciously from all the other networks. So if somebody is only listening to CTV or whatever, or Czech News or whatever, then they're going to believe that Rebel News is bad. So they're not going to listen. So not only do you have to fight through the fog, you also have to have a critical mind and willingness to listen to the other side of the fence and see what's going on. But I find that the vast majority of parents out there aren't willing to face that stuff because they're too deep into the matrix.
Mm. So how do we get them out of there, guys? Because they got to wake up to this. Because, like I said, what they're doing to our kids right now, there is going to be a lot of parents that are going to have to look themselves in a mirror in a couple months or maybe a year from now and ask them why in the world they ever allowed this to happen to their child. Why is it that we can't get that information in a free and open society where that information is supposed to be available to us so that we can make rational decisions, is now being completely censored? Well, if you read the Communist Manifesto, you'll understand exactly what is going on. If you look at Germany in 1935, by 1935 in Germany, Hitler had complete control of all the media. There wasn't any information given to the public that the government didn't want them to hear. Well, what have we got in Canada? We've got the exact same situation. Unless you go looking for alternative, all you're going to hear is government propaganda. And then, of course, you know, 1937, Hitler had people walking around the street with papers in their pockets so they could function in society. Well, where do you think this Vax pass is going to take us? It's taking us to the exact same end game. And they're only going to wrap this up, guys. They're not going to let this go. Now we can't go into sports events. We can't go into an arena. I can't play hockey anymore because I refuse to get jibby jab. That's only the beginning. Next, it's going to be you can't go into a bank. Next, you're going to can't go into the grocery store. You will be basically completely shut out from society if they're allowed to go forward this and coerce everybody into taking the jibby jab. Why is it that they're doing this? This thing doesn't affect people. I tell people you got to go look at numbers. Because, you know, we're into this for almost 2 years now. And unfortunately, the government cannot hide the data. As much as they're trying, they can't actually hide the hard data that's out there and available. All you have to do is get on the internet and do some searching for a couple hours, and you'll fall off your chair. You would never consider ever ingesting your child with these poisons. But parents can't do that today. What's gone wrong with our world, man? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Go ahead, somebody. Somebody explain to me what's going on, because I'm lost. I am. You mean, come on, guys, it's our kids. I mean, you know, what's wrong with people? Why can't they go, hey, wait a second, hold on. We're starting to hear about negatives, about, you know, children dying and myocarditis and all this other stuff. We're starting to hear about that, even as much as hard as the mainstream media is trying to keep that away from the public, they're starting to hear about it. And if I heard any contrary opinion about what the government is saying, I'd want to go explore that, especially, like I said, when it comes to our children, especially at 5 and 6 years old. Man, I'll tell you, somebody's going to answer for this one day, and it's not going to be pretty. Go ahead. Somebody.
Well, they have what you call, you know, Dr. Robert Malone talks about the psychosis of mass formation, right? And unfortunately, we're seeing one of the greatest psychological operations happening in our society today. You know, the four central conditions, you know, that I have up is lack of social bonding. I think we can unpack that pretty good right now. Seeing life as meaningless, purposelessness, senseless, or being faced with persistent circumstances. You know, that's the fear of COVID, right? Widespread free-floating anxiety and free-floating discontent, you know, and frustration and aggression. You know, these are central conditions to the mass formation, right? And that is that cycle. It's almost like hypnosis. It's a very hypnotic. And then you have that mass panic, right? And so for some reason, they just can't seem to pick themselves out of that. The critical thought and common sense is not so common anymore. You know, when we're dealing with fear on a massive scale like we are seeing today.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Hutchinson really hit that on the nail yesterday when he talked about that aspect of what we're actually doing to our children. You know, I've listened, I can't remember the gentleman I listened to one day, a world-renowned neurologist and top in his field talking about the effects that masks are having on our children. And it's like the doctor said yesterday, it's going to be 10 years. If we stopped it all right now, it'd be 10 years to fix the damage that's already been done. We're creating a little army of robots that are scared of their own shadow, will listen to anything the authorities tell them, and that's what our children are being conditioned to understand and believe now. This is, you know, the mask, it's like he said yesterday, I've said this many, many times on my show, that there isn't a mask on the market. I went to every website for every cloth mask available on the market today. I took boxes out of the stores. I got the websites. I looked it up, and none of them state any shape or form that they have the ability to stop a pathogen. You know, pathogen is 0.007 microns wide, about 1/10,000th of an inch. There isn't a cloth mask in the world that will stop that. So why are we putting masks on our children? Because it's affecting their brains and their social development. That is the end game of what we're doing to our children right now in school. When I went to school, man, recess, hey, we're all outside. We're getting in each other's faces. We're getting into trouble. Boys were bored. And you always use your face to express your emotion. And that's being taken away from our children for absolutely, absolutely no good reason. Somebody in the school board should be held liable and explain to us why they're mandating children when there's absolutely no proof, zero, that it does anything to protect them from this so-called killer virus. What do you think? Where's the logic?
Well, that's just it. There isn't logic. The whole fear, you know, fear. It works for telemarketing scams. If you think about it, right? Well, yes.
Totally.
Sure, right? Like, what happens when you're put into a state of panic? You stop thinking. And you want to be told. Yes, and you want to be told what to do. So if you get a phone call or something on your computer says, call Microsoft, and then you got usually an East Indian accented person on the other side saying, your computer's hacking or whatever, and you need to send us $500 in iTunes gift cards or something. Well, you're put into a state of panic and threatened of jail time or whatever. So if it works on the individual for a marketing scam, then you just got to scale that puppy up and give it to the entire society. And well, there you go.
Yeah. When fear is put into people's minds, it scrambles their brain, man. It's almost like a scream inside of their head, and they'll do anything to get rid of that scream. So, of course, along comes the government on their big white shiny horse. And they'll always have the answer to the problem. Problem, reaction, solution. They're masters at it. But you know what? I said it yesterday. I say it today, man, that of everything that's going on, all the chaos in our world right now, the fact that they're attacking our children, if that doesn't get people awake and aware, then we'll lose our society, because there is a point here where people have to look themselves in the mirror and go, look, you know, they've been doing this for 2 years to us now. Nothing they have done has worked. We're only getting worse and worse and worse. Every couple of weeks now, we've got a new variant coming out. We got new vaccines. Now they're telling us that our original two jibby jabs aren't going to work, and we must get our booster to make our vaccine passport work in society. I mean, once you've given up body autonomy to a government, mm-hmm. then you've lost it. So we have mm-hmm. to put a stop to this. We have to, or they will not stop, period.
Yeah. And it's definitely part of the conversation that needs to be on the how does an individual and how does a society go about correcting what's going on. And we do have examples in history of what happens when a society gets taken over and their process of putting it back. Like the sometimes think of the Berlin Wall. Mm-hmm. Well, imagine going through the minds of East and West Germany there. This thing is erected, and one half is communist or socialist, whatever it was, and then the other half is democratic. They're doing fine. They're prospering. And eventually, the wall comes down. But what happened in that process? What did the people end up having to do to make it come down? Mm. Or even where was it? Czechoslovakia? It was, let me think here. It was 1960s. There was the Soviet at the time, USSR, they invaded, I think it was they invaded Czech, and they made it communist. And it was communist for a while, but there was a fellow by the name of Alexander, I forget his last name, forgive me. He wrote a manifesto after he came out to the States, and he wrote a 4-page docket saying how to rebel, how to resist. And in his document, he did not state that you need to kill police officers. You need to burn down the parliament. He did not say to do that. He said, if you want to make effective change in your society, the most effective way to do it is to not play the game.
That's right.
So all he simply said was, don't put your money in places that support the establishment. So if there's a grocery store that supports vaccine passports, don't spend your money there. If there is a stage play in a local theater saying passports are great or the vaccines are awesome, don't go. If the establishment is saying wear your mask, don't wear your mask. It's basic. That was his basic summary of how to affect change. Because as he stated, if you get several thousand people doing that, the establishment doesn't know what to do. They can't put you all in prison. And if you get tens of thousands of people doing it, you affect change in your entire society, in your entire culture. Yeah. And it doesn't take much. That's what I try to tell anybody who's willing to have the conversation. I try to say to them, it does not take much to affect change. And you don't have to be violent about it. Last example that I can think of happened a few years ago in Walmart. So the GMO products. What was this? Maybe 10 years ago, there was a milk being sold in Walmart that had the bovine growth hormone in it.
Yeah.
And Monsanto and all that business. Once people started to understand what the heck was in their milk, they stopped buying the milk. That's all they did. And it wasn't a large percentage of people. I think it was like 3 or 4% of the people that were buying that milk stopped, and it was enough to affect the profit margin of Walmart so that they changed their entire product line. Walmart stopped supplying this milk, and it only took a couple percentage points of people to do that. So you don't have to be violent about it. You just have to change what you do. And again, that change only came because of education. And the few brave people willing to say, hey, there's GMO products in your milk. This is what it's showing in human bodies when this happens. Stop buying the milk. We can do the same thing with COVID.
Well, it's hard to get away from GMO products now because they're everywhere. What do you think, Barb? We only got about 10 minutes left here. What do you think?
I definitely think, you know, Nathan is correct when he says it just takes a movement, a small movement to make massive change. And I think that what we are doing in our local town here is absolutely incredibly amazing by making sure that we're consistently collecting together. And, you know, you're a big, big proponent of that, you know, and getting together and making sure that we offer a very awesome, safe place to come and have this collectivity. It's important because I believe truly 100% that the more and more that we do this, the more and more people will be courageous enough to come out. I know that we, for absolute certain, that there is way more of us in our community, way more of us. And I just feel that the more that we collectively collect, that it's going to snowball and we're going to make that change. And it's just going to be what we're doing and going and not wearing a mask and not supporting the businesses and making sure that word by word of mouth that we're letting each other know what businesses are turning an eye to the so-called mandates and allowing, you know, this change to sort of morph and evolve. And I know, you know, that there is legitimate fear, and that's just because of ignorance too, as well as how far can we hold the line, right?
Exactly.
And I think that's the most important thing that we're doing in our community. And anyone in Terrace that's listening right now, it's like write to your local school board, tell them about how you're feeling, and tell them that your kids will not be wearing their mask, and that parents will want to be notified if there's a nurse there trying to push the jab on these kids, and that, you know, that we have to start making a stand, but doing it respectfully.
I agree. You know, change starts at home. And I got a friend that I get on the show a lot. His name's Ron Stevens. Everybody knows him. They listen to my show. But, you know, he stated many, many times on programs that the way we affect change in our local society is by getting involved in the councils. Because we all know that the mayors in every city in British Columbia belong to the Council of Mayors of British Columbia. And all they're doing is doing the government's bidding at the municipal level. That programs are being implemented in Terrace are globalist programs. If you want to put a stop to it, get involved in council. Take the council over and you'll stop it all. There's a little community. I'll tell you a little quick story. Ron was telling me there's a community in southern Alberta, and I forget which one it was, but they were so pissed off with what the council was doing with their globalist agendas that they took the council over. They had an election. All the standing officials in the council were knocked out, and it was replaced with individuals in the community that had the community's best interests at mind. And they've completely turned it around. There is no more globalist agendas being played out in that little community. Well, if we did that across the country, you'd see this, they would, it would come to a stop. Whether we have time to do that right now at this point in history, that's a big question. I don't believe we have a lot of time left. I believe the window is getting smaller and smaller. We haven't lost this yet, but we really need to step up our game this year if we want to put a stop to it. And those are some of the ways that we can do it right away. I know we have an election coming up in Terrace here, so get involved in the council, guys, and get out there. It's like what Jody's doing in our community. I mean, we have to effect change at the local community, at the local level, and that will filter right across the country.
Right.
All that being said, we got about 4 minutes left here. So Nathan, yeah, that hour went really quick. There's so many things that we could talk about here in regards to the school system. I mean, we're only one of the few communities left in British Columbia that's still fluoridating our water. I mean, that's a subject for another day. But you know, we had a petition go around in Terrace here that I started about 5 or 6 years ago. And we got 898 signatures on that petition demanding a referendum on fluoride being added to our water in Terrace. The council came out and said, we won't recognize this once you get 1,000 signatures. And they knocked it down. And I was absolutely infuriated that almost 900 people in our community are telling the council they want a referendum. And those people are being ignored. That's what we're dealing with in our local communities, guys. It's nothing to do about what you want or your best interest. It's about what they're being mandated to do at upper levels of government. So let's change that. Your last thoughts there, Nathan?
Last thought would be that I find that, unfortunately, a lot of the parents are either unwilling out of fear to affect change because they feel like they're just a drop in the bucket, or any such thoughts like that. I find the best way to dispel fear is knowledge, because knowledge is power. So and a lot of the parents don't really know. Some of them are just straight up pure ignorant. And I don't mean that in a bad way. They just simply don't know. So a reminder for not only myself, but for maybe anyone else listening, if you are on the side of truth and righteousness and you want to tell people what's really going on, remember that not everybody truly knows what's going on. They don't see you as an anti-vaxxer nut. Do it with love. Do it with kindness. And just remember that we are all on this together. And that if you're trying to share this knowledge with people, remember that they may be hesitant to it because they are afraid. And just love them through it. And we will win this.
Amen. Barbara.
Yes, I believe that you build it, they will come. You know, I think that, the adage of, you know, it's easier to be fooled than to be told that you've been fooled. Right. And so, you know, I think that at this point, you know, when we collect together and we continue to have our meetings and we continue to have our group and our little gatherings, you know, and they have grown and they're only going to continue to grow and the word will go get around. That's exactly what happened in the civil rights movement, you know, and so we have to look at what's worked in the past, right? And hail to Martin Luther King on that one. And so it's that we just have to be consistent and we have to, and people ask you, you tell them, and you're absolutely right, Nathan. It's got to be by love, tolerance, acceptance. Right. We have to meet people where they're at. And I think if we just continue to do what we're doing and we're bringing people here that have professional clout that can give the word, then I think that, you know, eventually more and more people are going to start to come out and start to go, wow.
Amen. Well, you know what? It's been a pleasure having you two people in for a conversation today. I know we talked about Terrace, but what we talked about in our community is playing out across the country, and everything that we talked about as solutions, you can implement in your own society, and we will see change. Evil cannot be cannot flourish the way it is. It's going to come to an end. We're going to win this. I just hope not too many people get hurt along the way. But
yeah,
unfortunately, that's a real possibility right now, guys. So let's just keep our feet on the ground and go forward. I love our little meetings. And we'll be talking to you guys on the weekend.
You bet.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Barry, for all that you do and for your show. It's awesome. Yes. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Take care.
Okay, folks, I'm going to be back in about 4 or 5 minutes with a real firecracker. Mr. Chris Sky is going to join me for a little talk. I'm going to have to get myself really ramped up for this one. I'll be back in 5 minutes, guys. Thanks again, folks.
Jesus loves me. This I know. hails me. So
welcome back to Third Hour, folks, and thanks for my local people there coming and having a talk. It was quite enjoyable. I'll say I'm saving the best for the last today because it really is an incredible honor to have Chris Skye back on my show. I listen and follow Chris intensively across the country. He's a real true Canadian patriot fighting tooth and nail to stop the insanity we see going on in our country right now. Chris, welcome back to the show. Always a pleasure.
Hey, how are you doing, man? And how's everybody else doing?
Living the dream, Chris, in China.
Yeah, indeed.
Wondering what's going to come next. It's like it's getting crazier. It used to be getting crazier by the day, but now it's like getting crazier by the hour. So tell me what you've been
up to, Chris. I was just about to say, now it's not even crazier by the day. Now you got to update people multiple times a day. Something big is coming, and it's coming very soon. And there's a reason for this. They are desperate. Their narrative is crumbling before their very eyes. The data is coming out all over the world. Even Germany just reported that almost 96% of all new cases are fully vaccinated people. Almost one-third of those fully vaccinated people have taken the third booster. Countries like Israel that are well ahead in their booster shot program, who have more people with three shots per capita than any other nation on the planet, and are now like drowning in infection and hospitalization. Guess what their solution is? When the first, second, and third shot didn't work, their solution is the fourth shot. So if you're in Canada or the U.S. or any of these countries that are behind, and you want to understand if the third shot's going to work, just look at Israel. The more people that are sick, there's more people that are sick that took the third shot that took two shots. And it goes to what everyone has been saying. Luc Montagné, the Nobel Prize-winning scientist who discovered the HIV virus, had said months ago that this vaccine, and I use that word lightly because it's more like an injectable bioweapon, he said this experimental injection will cause cumulative damage to your immune system to the point where every shot you do is going to lower your white blood cell count. And if everybody knows anything about HIV, that's what HIV virus does. It lowers your white blood cell count to the point where your body's immune system is so damaged and so compromised that a simple cold or a simple cut on the finger can get infected and kill you. And he said that's what we're going to start seeing with this experimental injection. And when I heard him say that, it made a lot of sense to me. So I actually got some of my followers to start sending me their blood work. I'm talking about healthy individuals that would get normal blood work pre-COVID. So I told them, send me your blood work before your first COVID shot, and then 5 weeks after your first one and 5 weeks after your second one. And I want to, and I just want you to send me one thing, your white blood cell count, because I wanted to check what Luc Montagné had been saying. And sure enough, I started with a healthy 35-year-old male, and when he sent me his first initial blood work before any of his jabs, his white blood cell count couldn't have been a better baseline. It was right at the mid-normal, right at the mid-range. Then he sent me after his first jab, and sure enough, he had lost about 15% of his white blood cell count, which is a significant statistic, but it could have been done. It could have been prone to many other things. So I didn't track it up as anything definitive. Then he sent me a thing after his second shot, about 5-6 weeks after his second shot. And surprise, now he had lost about 35% of his white blood cell count. And he was now right on the cusp between low normal and the danger zone, basically setting himself up for the third shot being the one that puts him into the zone where he's no longer healthy and no longer able to fight off infection, and he's more than likely to get sick. And then I had older people do the same thing. I had a 70-plus-year-old woman do the exact same thing. And after just her first injection, she had lost almost half of her white blood cells. And after the second injection, her white blood cell count was so dangerously low, the hospital had to put her on a different cocktail of vitamins, minerals, and supplements to try to rebuild her white blood cell count. And what did we find in Israel? I posted a mainstream media broadcast where they were warning people that the most infected people were the ones that took the third shot. And they said that they were witnessing what they were calling, and I want everybody to listen carefully, immunoerosion, the erosion of the immune system cumulatively with each additional injection. So just like my research had shown, just like Luc Montagnier's research had shown, the real world has proven that the more injections you're getting, the weaker your immune system becomes. Let's say that again. The more injections people are taking, the weaker their immune system becomes. And now we're on this fantasy land where, oh, you were supposed to get an injection and it's going to last you 6 months. Well, they know that if everybody waits a full 6 months before thinking about taking their next injection, they're going to lose way too many people from that supposed fully vaccinated segment of society. And if they can't keep that at around 80%, their vaccine passport system goes away. And the primary purpose of this entire pandemic, and I want everybody to get that in their head, the main primary goal of this pandemic is to get society on this vaccine passport system, which they can then translate into the digital currency system and eventually have you on a climate carbon credit system. So that's what this is all about. It has nothing to do with the virus. It has nothing to do with the jab. This is all about getting society to give up their God-given rights and freedoms and turn them into government-granted privileges that the government can take away at any time, and the government can create any new stipulation you have to follow in order to access your rights and freedoms. For example, now they're telling you you can't go to work, you can't go to school, you can't travel unless you're double jabbed. What's going to happen next is they're going to tell you, we can't wait 6 months for you all to go get the booster. There's too many cases of Omicron. We need the booster now. So now all of a sudden, people that just got their second shot 2-3 months ago thinking they're going to get 6 months worth of protection and 6 months worth of their rights and freedoms and privileges, first of all, they're going to get locked down. The government's going to lock everybody down. Get that through your head, everybody. They gave out 10 million test kits to all the school children across the country and told them you're not allowed back to school unless you take this test kit. So when they test millions and millions of people over the next 2 weeks, guess what they're going to say? We have record number of cases. Sorry.
Yeah, no, no.
Exactly.
You could just read panic, the playbook.
They're going to go panic beyond. They're going to tell you we have exponentially more cases than we have ever seen since the start of the pandemic. So they're going to say that justifies a stricter lockdown than ever before, and even justifies a lockdown of the jabbed, and it justifies fast-tracking the booster campaign so everybody will now be eligible for their third dose, regardless of if you just got the second jab a week ago, a month ago, 3 months ago. They're going to tell you it's safe and even encouraged for you to go get the third jab. Why? Because they know they only have a certain amount of time where they can lock us down. They know by April, May, when the weather turns, Canadians are going to come out of their hibernation one way or the other, whether the government provides them permission or not. So their goal, their purpose, their entire existence depends on convincing the majority of the population to take that booster shot. And their problem is, they had to coerce, manipulate, threaten, basically hold a gun to the head of the entire population to get them to take a second jab under the auspice that second jab would set them free and that second jab would end the restrictions and save their business and end the pandemic. Now people have realized that there's no way that that's happening and they're being set up for a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, et cetera, jab. This is creating a phenomenon that I like to call peak vaccination. And in my opinion, and I think I have a pretty good track record, they've reached peak vaccination with the second shot. They will never get a larger percentage of the population to take shot 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, etc., than they did to take shot 2. Because shot 2, they told everybody would be the only thing they needed to get out of this. Shot 2, people took to get their because it was mandated at their work. Shot 2, people took because they thought they had no choice. Now people are starting to realize that the only way out of this is to reject this booster. The only way out of this is to reject these mandates, not complying. Compliance is what kept us in it for 2 years, and compliance is what's going to keep us in it for virtually forever. So with all these special phenomena working against them, including a lot of jobs no longer mandating the jab, the idea that they're going to be able to get as many people to take shot two as they did shot three as they did shot two is a fallacy and virtually impossible. And if you believe their inflated numbers, they could only convince about 70 to 75% of the population to take that second jab. That means at peak vaccination, they had 25% of our country that was not considered fully vaccinated, that could not participate in the vaccine passport system. That is an unsustainable number. And now our goal has to be to focus on every single person that take the first two jabs and convince them not to take that booster. The end of this pandemic, the restoration of our rights, the restoration of our freedom, the restoration of a healthy society depends on us rejecting this booster, this third shot, over the next few months. They're going to run the most incessant propaganda campaign and the most harshest psychological warfare campaign you've ever seen in the history of humanity to try to force, coerce, and manipulate Canadians and Americans to take this jab, because they know nobody wants it. They know people have realized that it's not going to help them. It'll probably make them sicker. They know people have realized that taking the jab prolongs this. So what have they done? They have tried to purge people like me off social media. In the last 48 hours, my Instagram, my Twitter, my TikTok, my Facebook, and videos of me off YouTube were all banned. I literally tried making a TikTok video of me dancing, just dancing, like they all do on TikTok. Everyone makes those stupid videos on TikTok where they dance. So I made it as a test. And sure enough, even a video of me dancing got removed as a community guidelines violation. You want to hear Chinada, go on TikTok and try to type the hashtag Chris Sky and see what happens. You can type Chris and any variation of it. As soon as you type Chris Sky or any variation, all the hashtags disappear. So it's one thing to be banned off social media. It's another thing to have your entire hashtag banned. And why did they ban me? Because they didn't want me telling everybody, listen up, they're about to lock you down, probably within the next couple weeks. They're going to tell you the only way out of this is if you take the booster. The reality is the exact opposite. They plan on locking you down, taking away as much freedom as possible, including travel restrictions and travel checkpoints, to try to make you feel so helpless, so hopeless, that you feel you have absolutely no choice but to take that booster. And if you take that booster, they're going to make shot three become shot four. They're going to tell you that every 6 months isn't good enough. They're going to tell you you need a shot every 3 months. And then you're going to have to agree to 3 or 4 shots a year in order to go to work or in order to go to school or in order to travel, in order to live your life. And then they're going to announce, and I want everybody to know that I was the first one to tell you this, if we go along with the booster, if they can get 70%+ of the population to take that booster by April or May, between now and between the spring and September, you're going to hear calls to introduce a central bank digital currency in Canada, a CBDC. You're going to hear calls that cash is dirty. You're going to hear calls that cash is spreading COVID, that cash is increasing crime, that cash is holding back our economy. And the only way forward is this brand new digital currency. And they already have you set up for it. If you know, you can type in digital ID, and right now, all these things will come up and let you know that your passport, your driver's license, your health card is now all available as this wonderful digital ID. And as of the end of January, your vaccine passport QR code was now become part of this digital ID. So now they have your normal IDs merged with your vaccine passport digitally. And they call it already, wait for it, your digital wallet. So the government has already created for you a digital wallet with your digital driver's license, your digital health card, your digital passport, and your digital vaccine passport QR code. And the next step will be to transfer you from the normal fiat currency system into a fully digital currency system with your own little digital wallet. They're going to make it seem so wonderful. In reality, once they have you on that, your ID, your vaccine passport, and your digital currency are all combined into one. And that gives them complete control over you. Your phone's going to tell you, you have 3 days to get vaccinated. You have 2 days to get vaccinated. And if you choose not to get vaccinated, all of a sudden, you can't access your digital wallet. So you can't get your money. And you can't scan your digital IDs. So you can't drive or you can't travel. You can't do anything. They literally have you turned off until you submit to whatever they tell you. And that right now is a shot every 6 months. And then within a couple of months, it's going to be a shot every 3 months. And then after that, it's going to be a shot as every other week, plus pills, plus this. And there's nothing you're going to be able to do to say no, because you won't be able to collect anything. If you look, the Liberal government has just updated their system. So now, if you refuse vaccination, you can no longer collect any type of government benefits. That's right. No more CERB for you if you do not take the vaccine. So what the hell do you think is going to happen when they have you on a digital wallet and digital QR code? Let me tell you, you're not going to be able to even work or get paid or get a pension or get any type of payment sent to you unless you submit to the vaccine or any other medical tyranny they foist upon you. This is what they're setting up. This is the so-called New World Order. This is the Great Reset, where you will own nothing and be happy. And if you have any question about what I'm saying, Quebec is already under the first stages of lockdown, where they instituted a curfew as of New Year's Eve just to make sure people wouldn't be able to celebrate with their families. And they have squads of militarized police parading through the streets, blasting on loudspeakers in both French and English, to tell everybody to stay in their homes. Literally straight out of a dystopian futuristic movie. And this is real life right now in Canada. And I guarantee you it's going to get a whole lot worse in the coming weeks and months while they try to convince you to take this booster. Because their entire plandemic now hinges on convincing people to do something where they know is not against and not in their best interest.
Well, that was a mouthful, Chris, but you're spot on, buddy. I mean, I've looked at what you said a couple years ago about, well, when this first came to light in society, I remember you getting up and telling people exactly what was going to happen 12, 14 months down the road, and you were spot on your assessment. So you've got my attention. But everything you've talked about, I'm pretty well aware of that now. You know, Chris, anytime a society gives up body autonomy to a government, you've basically lost all your freedoms. They're not going to stop with this. They've already named the next how many variants are coming down the tube. I was on a site that tells us all the variants that are coming, when they're going to unleash them on society. Wait a second. Trudeau went and spent how many dollars on vaccines for us for the next 3 years, Chris? What numbers did you find? Because the numbers I found were approximately $90 to $100 million for the next 3 years for vaccines for Canadians. I've heard.
I was going to say $100 million, so you took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, and they've already committed to that. They've also signed on with Pfizer and Moderna for additional, if necessary, and of course we know that's going to be necessary, that the $100 million is going to cover maybe a year. When they get going on this, you're absolutely correct, Chris. This is a time right now, and you stated it so good, buddy, that if we don't get on this right now, we are going to be in a society, my friend, that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. So how do people stop this now, right, Chris? People are hearing this. People are hearing this. And, of course, you know, we are going to strike, even though we don't want to say we're fear-mongering. We're telling you the truth. Chris is telling you the truth right now. And, of course, that is right now, I can imagine people out there are going like, holy smokes, I don't want this to happen. How do we stop this, Chris?
This is the good news. This is the good news. This is their last attack. This is their, like, this is like the horror movie where the creature's already dead and the whole cast is walking away and everything's fine, and then it comes back for one more scare. That's all this is. They have already lost. the amount of evidence around the world is overwhelming that there is 100% vaccine failure. The CDC has come out and admitted that double and even triple vaccinated people have no significant difference in contracting or transmitting the virus as do unvaccinated people. So the whole idea for a mandatory vaccine, the whole idea for a vaccine passport literally crumbles on its own weight. And this is like watching a train wreck in slow motion. And there's nothing they can do to stop it. All they can do now is try to manage their downfall. And what you're going to see and what you are seeing already to prove that what I'm saying is correct, that we have, and this is what I'm trying to tell you, we have already won. They are just trying to desperately prolong this as long as possible to push their agenda along as far as possible. But it's up to us to hold our ground. And they're going to try to get that booster, and all we have to do is avoid the booster. That's how easy this is. All we have to do is hunker down for the winter, hold our ground, hold the line. All the people that didn't take vaccine one or two are definitely not going to go and take 1, 2, 3, and 4. All the people that took number one that didn't take number two are definitely not going to take number three. So now the only people that we need to worry about are those people that took the double jab. And those people that took the double jab, most of them didn't take it willingly. Most of them took it because they felt like they had no choice. So it's up to all of us to let them know that not only do they have a choice, but that the choice they make will influence all of society. Because if we can convince even 10% of those people not to take that jab, now all of a sudden there's only 60% of the country that's considered fully vaccinated. How are you going to enforce a vaccine passport system or all these other restrictions when almost half the country is not complying? Answer, you can't. Answer, it goes away. That's what they don't want you to realize. This is why they tell you things are temporary, and then they slowly tighten the screws on you and keep extending and extending it, because they know that the moment you just stand up for yourself and just say no, then it goes away. And like I said, you're already going to start seeing the turning of the tide. What are you going to see with the public officials and elected officials? You're going to see one of three things. The really smart ones, whether they're on your side or not, and they're probably not because they're all sinister creatures, but the really smart ones are going to get out in front of it. They're going to start speaking up against it. And I'll give you a perfect example. Patrick Brown, mayor of Brampton. Now, this man was a sniveling coward. This man is also a big-time liar. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, he's a snake. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's a snake in the grass. But guess what? He is smart enough to see the writing on the wall. He is smart enough to see what's coming, just like I said, the train wreck in slow motion that they can't stop. So what did he say a couple days ago? He called out the fake news, and he called out the fake pandemic restrictions. And he pointed out that all the hospitalizations they're talking about in Canada, up to 50% of the people that are considered hospitalized for COVID are not even in the hospital for COVID. You have people going to the hospital for something like a broken arm, and then before they're allowed to be treated, the hospital forcibly tests them, and then they test positive for COVID without having symptoms or even being treated for it, yet they get logged in as a COVID hospitalization. So for him to go out on a limb and call out his own people, it shows that he knows the tide is turning. So that's what you're going to see from the smart ones. They're going to start calling it out. The other ones that don't want to make waves, you're going to just see a wave of resignation. And for the really stupid ones, they're going to try to stick it through, and they're going to be the ones that end up getting prosecuted or worse. But that's what's coming, because the amount of evidence that's coming out, even with the airlines. Did you hear what happened with the airlines?
Yeah, I'm following that. Go ahead.
Okay, so did you talk about that today?
No, but go ahead. We could talk. Yeah, we did. We touched on it in the first hour with Roger, but go ahead. Add your thoughts there.
Okay, just for anybody that didn't see the first hour and didn't know, there is a special rule among the FAA guidelines that state that no airline employee, especially pilots who are mission critical, are allowed by law, multiple laws, by the way, to take any medication or any injection or any drug that has not been FDA approved for a minimum of 12 months. None of these injections are FDA approved. They are only approved under emergency use authorization. So they do not, and they haven't even been approved under emergency use authorization for over 12 months. So So under no circumstances or under no interpretation that these experimental injections meet the legal criteria to be able to be mandated against these airline employees, even a baggage handler, let alone a pilot. And every single pilot that gets injured or hurt or killed by one of these jabs in flight can sue for hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. So the amount of illegalities going on is incredible. And there's another way we can be attacking the government. And I don't want to say what it is until they launch the until they launch the first one, because I don't want to give it away to the government. But we will touch back on it in a couple weeks after they've actually launched the initial legal challenge. But what I can tell you is it's a way to prosecute these people criminally. So even the drug manufacturers are liable. And we have thousands and thousands of plaintiffs already lined up for this case, with a lot of lawyers lined up to do it in multiple provinces all around the country, and then hopefully be emulated all around the world. So there is a lot of challenges coming against them. There is so much mounting evidence against them. There is so much public opinion shifting against them. Mandates are failing from unions and jobs. So all the incentive for people to get the booster has gone away. All it takes is to look around the world and see that the booster is not protecting people. The booster is not stopping the pandemic. Every country that's far along in the booster is being locked down just like everybody else. Everybody can understand the government lied about everything. They were told, wear your mask, take your jab, you'll get your freedom back. Guess what? You wore your mask, you took your jabs, and now they're telling you they're going to be locked down. Now they're telling you you're going to have even more restrictions. Now they're telling you you're going to have to take even more jabs. And guess what? You're still not going to get your freedoms back. You're just going to get screwed. Stop complying. The only way to end this nightmare is by not complying, by just saying no to this booster. That's it. It's so easy. Everybody tells me, what do I need to do? Simply, everybody listening to this, everybody who's awake, your job is to convince at least one double jab person that you know not to take that booster. And if the 20% of freedom fighters in our country all do that and convince even one double jab person not to take that booster, all of a sudden, we got 20% more people that didn't take the booster. All of a sudden, we only have half the population that's considered fully vaccinated. All of a sudden, all of their bullshit goes away. Sorry, I'm supposed to not swear.
Yeah, we'll give you one. We'll give you one pass there, Chris. Sorry, my Skype all of a sudden just died there. I don't know what happened there, guys. I didn't touch anything. All of a sudden, it just died. But they've been doing some pretty weird stuff to me in the last couple of days. I tried to get in on a show today, and they wouldn't let me join, Chris. And that was very unusual, because my buddy never has a problem pulling me in, but they wouldn't let me join. They'd let other people join, but they wouldn't let me join. So, of course, they've been taken over by Microsoft, and we all know what Microsoft's all about. You know their level of censorship.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that Bill Gates and George Soros just partnered up and bought the new company, the new testing company? Because if everybody knows, the PCR test that was considered the gold standard, even though the person who invented the test was on the record saying it is not suitable for testing for COVID, but right. They called it the gold standard. And by the way, it wasn't FDA approved either. It was only approved under emergency use authorization, and that emergency use authorization expired December 31st. And guess what? They didn't even ask for it to be extended, because they know and they admitted that the PCR test is so faulty that it gives false positives for so many reasons. It cannot differentiate between the flu, COVID, or any other type of virus. It cannot differentiate between live virus or dead virus. In other words, it was completely useless except as a tool to further along their agenda of control and enslavement. But don't worry, now they've come up with a new gold standard test.
Ooh,
and
cool,
Bill
man.
Gates and George, pardon?
Cool.
Yeah, and Bill Gates and George Soros, the two people who love you more than anyone in the world and want what's best for your family and their future, bought out this testing company. So now, not only are they in the vaccine business, now they're in the testing business. So they basically have a monopoly on the pandemic, set to make hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, the longer they can keep this going. Well, increasing their control over society exponentially.
talking about the fox watching the hen house, eh? Listen, I got to get
back. Yeah, that's an understatement.
Well, listen, I want to get back to Patrick Brown just for a second here, Chris, because I haven't seen that link. So maybe when we're off the air today, you could send me the link on that, because what are we actually looking
it's
at?
It's from the Chris? Sun. It's from the Toronto Sun. I believe really? Brian Fury wrote the article.
Wow. Well, and of course, that didn't make mainstream media, did it?
Well, the Sun's pretty mainstream, but they didn't promote it. Let's put it that way. It wasn't when they arrested me and put it front page news and made it on every friggin' MSN network possible.
Yeah, you were famous there for a bit, buddy.
I got arrested 18 times now. I've only been in Alberta for a month, and since I've been here, I got arrested 3 times. But thankfully, since I've been arrested here 3 times, 2 of my charges already went to court. And guess what happened when they both went to court?
They dropped it.
Of course. What a shocker. So what's going to happen when all 18 times I got arrested, it goes to court and they end up having to drop the charges? If that's not a case for friggin' political harassment and political targeting, I don't even know what is. Not to mention, everybody knows I was put on the no-fly list because I made that public, right?
Yeah,
guess what we found out? Guess what we found out?
Go ahead.
I have the JCCF, the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms, representing me on that. I was never notified, and legally, to be put on the no-fly list, you have to be notified in writing by the government, and they have to tell you why you're on the no-fly list, and every 90 days, they have to send you a new notice stating if you're on it or not on it. I never received any notice. I was just banned from flying by the private commercial Canadian airlines, multiple airlines. So what did we do? The JCCF, after talking to the government, and the government could not say that I was on any no-fly list, we used a Freedom of Information Act request to the airlines to find out why they banned me from flying. And we targeted Flair Airlines specifically because they're a completely independent contractor, and I had never flown on them before in my life, yet somehow found myself banned from their services. And guess what happened? We got back a documentation from the Freedom of Information request from their lawyer, and about 85% of this document is all redacted by the RCMP under the guise of national security. So now, to cover up their crimes against me, they basically call it national security and bar my legal team from even being able to see what kind of illegal actions they've taken and what kind of laws they've circumvented and which of my rights and freedoms they violated, which were plentiful. So now I have to file a separate legal challenge against the RCMP just so I can have the information about their legal investigation against me unredacted for my legal team to utilize. This is the level of corruption we have in Canada. I'm getting put on a legal list without any legal recourse, without even being able to know why, how, or when. They've charged me with crimes before they've happened. They've gotten warrants put out for my arrest for things they say I was going to do. Pre-crime. Imagine being scheduled to speak in Winnipeg, Manitoba on a Friday, and on a Thursday before the event, they do a press conference and announce that Chris Skye has a warrant for his arrest because he's planning on speaking the following day. This is where we are in our country today.
I'm not trying to laugh, Chris. It's shocking. It really is. I hope people are listening to what you're saying right now, because that's how far we have slid in this country. We need to put a stop to it right away, Chris, because you know their power base is growing exponentially. But like you said, their whole charade is starting to fall apart. And I believe Trudeau, apparently on the 5th, 3 days from now, is going to come out and make some major announcements. I'm kind of interested in actually hearing what he has to say. I would not.
His announcements are going to be simple, guys. The next thing they're going to try to push upon us is the idea that the vaccines need to be mandatory. They're going to come up with this idea that the only way we can prevent massive future outbreaks and new waves and case surges is if people get vaccinated as quickly as possible and people are eligible for the vaccine as quickly as possible. In Ontario, they've already authorized 4 shots for long-term care residents who have already had their booster, because they were among the first people to get the first, second vaccine. So some of those people have already taken their third booster way back in August and September. So now they're already offering a fourth shot to the most vulnerable members of our population. And they don't plan on stopping there.
Oh, they're going crazy, Chris. This is never going to stop. You know that. I know that. This is complete control of society. This is the mark of the beast system being implemented in our society at light speed right now. And I believe that's what Trudeau is going to come out and say to the public on Wednesday here, that these we're at a point now where this is such an emergency in our society that the only way we're going to stop this is that everybody gets the shot, whether you like it or not.
That's what he's going to say. That's what they're going to try to push. Yeah. That's exactly what they're going to try to push. They're going to literally try to make criminals out of anybody that chooses to be unvaccinated. He already set the stage for it in his most recent remarks. Did you watch? He said it in French and English. Those who don't want to take the vaccine are racist and misogynist. The next thing they're going to say is you're terrorists. And once they declare you as terrorists, now you don't have any rights. Now you're just a person that's trying to destroy society. So now they can do whatever they want to you, and every single person in the country becomes someone like me that they can just come after with everything they got. They even had me arrested for beating my wife, if you recall. This was also front page news. And it was 15 hours after I had just got out of jail in Winnipeg, where I exposed that they created an illegal warrant in the system that wasn't there the night before. And as soon as I got out of jail, which they had to let me out because I exposed their lies and their criminality to the judge, I made a video and exposed it. And within 6 hours of me making the video, mainstream media was already trying to debunk the corruption that I exposed. And then within 15 hours of me being released upon driving home from Manitoba to Ontario, I got arrested again in Ontario by 8 officers under the auspice that somebody called 911 and said they saw me push my wife in a parking lot while they were driving by. And I got arrested, and that was my 15th arrest at that time. And I was already under so many ridiculous conditions. They tried to make me sign a form that I would not allow to be living with or even speak to my wife of 7 years, who I've been with for 11 years, regardless of what she said. And guess what happened with that? It went to court, and they had to withdraw it, just like all my other charges. But you don't hear the media talking about that. You just hear the media talking in the front page news saying that I got arrested and that I'm a woman beater and a wife beater. But then when it goes to court and they have to withdraw it before they even allow it to go anywhere because it's so ridiculous and egregious, they don't mention it.
Well, listen, Chris, if you're bringing me some heat today about being on my show, bring it, guys. I know that people are listening to this conversation right now that don't have our best interest in mind, Chris. And I'll say to those folks right now, you think you are part of the big party? Well, I'll tell you something, folks, you're not. You people that are working against Chris and other individuals in this country right now, trying to suppress this information, you are just up the rung of the ladder, 2 more rungs than me and Chris, that when your time comes and your usefulness has expired to these evil entities, you'll be stomped on just as hard as everybody else that's below you. So maybe you want to think about that today, all you people that are listening to this conversation right now, because you are. Go ahead, Chris.
You're 100% right. All the people that are against freedom right now, and it's not hard to say that freedom is the side of right. Never in the course of human history have the good guys been people trying to inject things into you and trying to coerce you and take away your freedom and trying to control you. Never. So I know I'm on the side of right. So all you people that are opposing me and opposing freedom, it only ends 2 ways for you. When we win, which we will, you guys will be held accountable just like the rest of the people. Think about the reporters during Nuremberg or all the other Nazi collaborators. No different. Yep. Meanwhile, if we went the dystopian route, which would never happen, but even if we did, if this was a movie and the bad people actually won, you go from useful idiots to useless eaters overnight. And you're going to be the first ones on the chopping block because they don't need you. You've served your purpose. Exactly. And when you make a deal with the devil, as soon as you're no longer useful, you're cast aside or worse. So that's what's going to happen to all these people. No matter which side wins, all the collaborators, all the people that went against freedom are going to be held accountable one way or the other. And they'll probably be treated worse by the people that they're serving right now than they would by people like us when we win. So that's the irony of the whole situation.
Surprise, surprise, guys. We were lying. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Chris, I applaud
you. Oh, wait, I thought you were lying to everybody else on the planet but me.
You know, I say to people all the time, Chris, really, you got to think about this just for one second. Has Trudeau ever told us a truth since he's become prime minister? And the only one that I can come up with is he promised to legalize cannabis, which they did. And, of course, they've lost $1.5 billion the first year in the drug business. Only drug dealers in the world that can lose money, but that's what's happened. But they've also introduced...
That just goes to show that government shouldn't be running anything. A government-run drug-dealing operation cannot even make money. End of story. Period.
Exactly.
That's all you need to hear.
All you need to know about the government, Chris, is anything they touch turns to poop. Show me an example where I am wrong, folks. So here we have people that actually, you know, they go, oh, Trudeau's not too bad, blah, blah, blah. Oh, look, I got my CERB check. They're looking after us. This entity, I'm calling it an entity because that's what he is, has never told us the truth outside of what he promised on legalization of cannabis. So why would
I'm gonna call you out there because he did tell one big truth that everybody should have really paid attention to.
Okay,
he did not mince words when he said that he admired China's basic dictatorship
and that
he wishes he had similar powers here.
You're absolutely correct. I stand corrected. Outside of that, tell me anything he has said in his political campaigns that he's come through on outside of cannabis, and I can't find any. But all that being said, Chris, why would anybody trust this man when it comes to something so critical in our society, so something that's so fundamentally changing our society right now with what he's telling us about the jab? You know, safe and effective, get your vaccine, only way to stop this pandemic. It's all complete bullcrap.
Forget just Trudeau. Why would anybody trust any politician? Every politician is part of the system. And we saw what happened last election. It doesn't matter who you vote for. Whatever they want to have happen will happen, and you will not change anything. Yeah. Think about it. How many of us voted for lockdowns and voted for vaccine passports? They didn't, but we still have them, don't we? So if people think that they're going to wait another 3.5 years and magically they're going to vote their way out of this, they might as well just jump off a cliff now because they're living in a fantasy land. And that's never going to happen. You cannot name one time in human history where people voted their way out of tyranny. The only way tyranny stops is when you stand up and face it. Face to face. Yes, I know you're afraid, and that's why it's called facing your fear. Because once you face your fear, you can overcome it. As long as you allow the fear to keep controlling you, you're going to be wearing a mask, you're going to be taking a jab, your business is going to be shut down, you're going to be locked down, your travel is going to be restricted, and you're going to be living like a slave for as long as you allow it. I don't live like a slave. And we moved to a place in rural Alberta, but we have a second home here now, and it's like a different country. I went to Canadian Tire yesterday. If you go to Canadian Tire in Toronto or any suburb of Ontario, it's literally like World War III. If you're you can go in there trying to buy a spark plug, and it'll turn into literal World War III with their staff actually assaulting you and trying to physically remove you from the store because you're not have a diaper on your face. When I went to the local Canadian Tire where I lived yesterday, there must have been just in the vicinity of the cash register alone, about 10 people walking around mask-free. And all of the people that worked there who were wearing their masks were so friendly and so accommodating. It is literally, it's not what people think. If you live in Toronto, if you live in Vancouver, if you live in those main cities, that is not the attitude of Canada. That is the attitude of the people who watch TV. And that is the people who live in the city. The people who live in the rural areas, the people who just want to be left alone, they understand exactly. There is such a massive statistic outside that people.
What happened to him, Barry?
I don't know. We're losing your volume there, Chris.
You lost me?
Yeah, well, then you're back. You're back. You were going really quiet there for a sec. Go ahead.
And that's why I like doing these tours to not just the big cities, but the smaller towns and smaller cities. Because if I go to a place like Toronto that's got 5 million people and we can get even a few thousand to come out, which is a lot for Toronto because they suck. And I'll say that loud and proud. I lived in Ontario for over 30 years. Toronto, you suck. The people, you suck. You got to stand up. You got to grow some balls. It's pathetic.
It is.
But if you go to a city like that and you get a few thousand people, that's not even a drop in the bucket.
Well,
sorry. Sorry about that. But if you go to a place in a rural town and it only has 5,000-10,000 people, you might still be able to get 1,000 or 2,000 people. And now you have a large percentage of the population. And that is large enough that you can virtually make significant changes on the ground overnight. And all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of restaurants in that town that don't enforce a vax pass. And virtually everywhere you can go without a mask. And then that spreads to the next town and the next town and the next town. And we slowly surround these major metropolitan areas with more and more people who have just had enough and people who are not complying. And then finally, when these city dwellers start to see other people walking around without a face diaper on, they will be inclined to take off theirs, because if they are nothing but followers, they will follow what the majority is doing. That is how the majority operate. That is why they call them sheep. That is why they call them the herd. And it's not even me that's calling the people sheep. The Australian government literally referred to people getting jabbed as herding the sheep through the gate. Those are not my words. That is the Australian government describing their vaccination campaign on their own people as herding the sheep through the gate. And we all know what happens to sheep. They get sheared.
Hey, Chris, have you ever been to Terrace, BC?
Where's that exactly?
Well, we're way up north here. We're
The furthest I've been in BC north, I believe, is Prince George.
Well, you know, you're going to have to make your way out here one of these days. We'll take you fishing. From Prince George, we're only a six-hour drive, so you're pretty close.
I would love to come because the further north I went in BC and Alberta, the more resistance I found, the more freedom fighters I found, and the less people likely to abide by restrictions I found. Prince George was actually my best rally I've done anywhere in the world. And I want to give the people – yeah, that was my favorite rally by far. The energy there – and I want everybody to understand why I'm saying this. The energy there was the perfect combination. What do I mean by that? In order to beat this, in order to be able to just say no, in order to foster enough united non-compliance in your community that these restrictions and these mandates and these bad people go away, you need a specific combination of strength in the ability of wanting to stand up for yourself, but also in love and community togetherness. Now, in certain parts of Alberta, I found the fighters ready to stand up for themselves, ready to just say no. But at the same time, to try to get those people to communicate with the double jabs and work with the double jabs, it was hard because there's too much animosity there. When I went to a place like Prince George, I saw that perfect combination of people strong and ready to stand up for themselves, and also with so much love and passion and compassion for their community and their fellow people living in the community, that's exactly what we need. We need that. We need that people that care about each other and care about their community and have the fortitude to say no. And they had it all in spades. And the energy there, you could literally feel it in the air. That freedom still lived there. The attitude there was, we will not be held back. We will not succumb to this, and we will move forward and keep our freedoms and keep our way of life intact because we love our community and we love each other. And that is the type of bond we need to create everywhere. And in those major metropolitan areas, it's almost impossible because they can create division so easily when there's so many people. But when you're in these smaller, tight-knit communities, wow, you can really make change on a national level and fast.
Yep. I agree. Big cities have gone for a dump, Chris. They really have. The problem we have in Canada, of course, is Montreal and Toronto pretty well determine where our election's going when the cycle is up. Even though these elections are non-issue, it's a selection now that our government's picked before we even go to the polls. We still see a major percentage of immigrants in Canada flocking to the big cities, and that, of course, is creating a voter base for these people that want to continue holding power for infinity. So,
well, that's not an accident. That's not an accident. Look at our immigration numbers this year.
Well, hey,
do you know how many people they brought in?
Record numbers from India.
Yeah.
Record numbers, Chris.
Canadians are not allowed to travel. It's not the time to travel, but it's the time to bring in record numbers of immigrants most from third world countries. They brought in over 400,000 Trudeau voters. I mean, sorry, new Canadians.
Wait, Chris, on top of
that. And they plan on increasing that every single year. Their target is 100 million people before 2100. And their goal is to make sure that over 80% of our population growth is driven by their immigration. So they want to completely alter the demographics of Canada, just like they're trying to completely alter the freedoms and how society works in Canada. And they figure the best way to do that is just to get rid of all the Canadians and replace them with people that don't know what a constitution or charter of rights is.
Exactly what they're doing, Chris. And I was looking at the numbers for immigration, and believe it or not, folks, the majority of the new immigrants are coming from India and China. Can you imagine that? We're allowing hundreds of thousands of our enemy into this country. China's not our friend, Chris. You know that. I know that. We should have nothing to do with them, yet we're allowing them to produce our test kits. We are allowing them to produce now about 80% of our prescription drugs. The sooner we completely boycott China and get things in order in Canada, better off we're going to be. But we don't
think about this, people. Think about this, people. Who am I to China? I shouldn't even be I should be an insignificant speck of dust to China. Meanwhile, their main social media platform is TikTok, and that is the platform that I am the most censored on. So why would China, the government, care about Chris Sky posting about Canada on their social media platform? It's because they want Canada to become the next China. And if you think I'm wrong, I was given a document, and I was given this document by active duty members of the Toronto Police Service in Toronto. And this document is a Government of Canada document, and it's titled unequivocally, Prepping Canada's Businesses for China's Social Credit System.
Exactly.
So under auspice of increased integration between our business sector and China's business sector, our government is going to start forcing our businesses that do business with China to adhere to the Chinese standards and the Chinese social credit system. Why? Because once they can introduce the social credit system for our businesses, they will just introduce it for the rest of society. So they are trying to literally turn us into the next China, which is also why the vast majority of Canadian immigration is now coming from China.
Go figure.
This is not an accident.
No, I know. I know. Why can't most Canadians see this, though? People are blind to this. They don't have a clue what's going on because they're not given this information. That's why it's so critical we do shows like this, Chris, because people are probably hearing things today that they've never heard before. I got to thank
100%.
You for coming in. I got to thank you for coming in. But I also, Chris, before you get any more, you have a site where, guys, you got to go buy a T-shirt off Chris. And I don't normally promote T-shirts for my guests, but he's got a T-shirt that says, Just Say No. So tell people where they can order one, Chris.
Well, right now I'm redoing the store. It's probably going to be up by the end of the first week of January because my guy's just coming back from vacation actually tomorrow, and I'm going to be going into Edmonton to finalize the store because I got a new store set up because I was even banned from PayPal, by the way, because my old store went through PayPal, and I was banned by PayPal because PayPal is owned by Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel is one of the founding members of NAMBLA, which is the North American Man Boy Love Association. So he's a self-proclaimed gay pedophile fighting for the rights of gay pedophiles. So those are the kind of people that are employing all these restrictions on us. So they didn't want me doing business selling my books or selling my T-shirts or et cetera. So I'm going to have a new store set up on my website in about a week or two. And my website is realchrissky.com. But even more importantly, I've started my own social media platform, and it is going to be available on realchrissky.com. It is like a Facebook where you can create your own profile, your own cover photo, your own profile photos, go live, post videos, post images, post status updates, friend requests. It's exactly like all the other platforms, except one big difference. No censorship, no fact-checking, no banning people when they post something that the establishment doesn't like. And when that goes up and running, I'm going to be doing a weekly show on that platform to keep people informed and to promote the platform. And it's going to become known as one of the largest free speech platforms in the entire world, I believe. And that's going to be on realchrissky.com in the next coming weeks, along with my store. They are so scared about the social media platform that when I posted about it on Instagram, I had to create a new Instagram. And within 36 hours, I almost had 10,000 followers. And when we posted, I posted a picture of my new profile on my new social media platform, and they had the post removed as sexual solicitation.
Wow.
All right? This is how desperate they are to try to silence people like me. And my book, Just Say No, is one of the most profound and relevant pieces of literature in this day and age, because everything in that book is going on right now. And it helps you understand it. It helps you see where it's going if you comply, and it helps you fight back and show you what you need to do to make sure we can get the country we want and not the country they're intending for us. But I'm going to check in with you in the next couple of weeks when it's all up and running on the website, because they're doing everything they can to try and stop both things from happening, the new store and the new social media site, because, like I said, they are desperate. This is their last kick at the can. If they can't convince Canadians and Americans to take this injection, their whole game is over, and that's how easy it is to win right now. We just got to get the people to just say no.
Boy, we need to stop it right now, folks. So let's listen to what Chris has said today. Let's take it to heart. Chris, if you'll get back with me again in a couple of weeks, we'll pull you in and you can bring us up to date with what's going on. I've enjoyed this conversation immensely today, buddy. You bring real good information to the listeners, and I want to thank you for coming in again today.
It's my pleasure. It's always a pleasure. God bless you. God bless everyone watching. Don't listen. Just say no to the booster. Hang out with your friends and family. Live life like normal, and normal life will come back. That's a promise.
Amen. Thanks again, Chris.
My pleasure. Cheers.
Bye for now. Well, that was a mouthful, guys. Thanks for tuning in today. I've enjoyed this show immensely. What can I say? Let's all think about what was said today amongst my guests, and let's take a lot of it to heart, because we are in a very, very dangerous time. I'm not in fear for the future of my country, but I'm aware right now that that could all be taken away from us. It's more important now than ever that we all take a stand, draw a line in the sand, and like Chris said, just say no. If we allow this to go on, it's never going to get better. And the world that he talked about in the near future is the world that we're going to be living in. I don't want to live in that world. I know you guys don't want to live in that kind of world. So let's get off our butts and really get busy. Thanks for joining me this week. I'll be back next week. Same time, same place. I've enjoyed talking with you guys. I hope you've enjoyed listening to me talk. Have a great day, guys. Bye for now.